I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. It is 7 a.m. in California. That's right, it is. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global, we're worldwide, and today we're going to prove we're worldwide. We have a very... Patricio is in the studio. This is going to be interesting because... Hola, Patricio. This is going to be interesting because Patricio is from Argentina, but he doesn't have his mic on. But he doesn't speak English, and my Spanish is really bad. So we're going to try to work this out because this is the first time that I asked him some questions. He returned my questions with answers with the help of Google Translate. This is the first time we ever done this. Again, we are worldwide. Today is October 6, 2022. And we are about to hear a treat as rapping. And here we go right now. And Patricio's here. So if you'd like to come into the studio, you can, and you can ask him some questions, but I'd rather you not. Well, here we go. I will usually at this particular time, I would take a break, and I might take a break. I think I will take a break. It'll give people a chance and his friends to come into the studio. Like I said, he's from Argentina. So we're going to be talking. I'm going to talk to him live through Google Translate and Facebook, but you won't be able to hear him because his mic is not working, okay? Ooh, this is going to be interesting. I hope I can pull this off. So stay with us. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, and Patricio is a rapper, and we're going to play his debut song. So hold on 1 second. We're going to take a 2 second break. I'm going to get them set up in Facebook. That's what we're going to do. And again, I could talk to him in Google Translate. So if you want to ask him any questions, again, he's from Argentina. If you want to ask him any questions, they can do that too through Google Translate. I think good morning. Good morning, 543. How are you? You're live on the air. Good morning, 543. Okay. 543 is just wants to listen. Okay. That's your little team. Hello?
Okay.
543?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're
welcome to the... It's who am I speaking to?
In Spanish.
Oh, is this Patricio?
Yes.
Hola. One momento.
Hello, my brother.
Hello, my amigo. One momento. One momento.
Okay.
And here, you know, I'm not going to take a break. Wait, hold on. Wow. let's see if we could do this. If you'd like to come to the studio, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. Again, we are worldwide. We got the great international rapper, Patricio, is here live with me. He hardly knows English. I hardly know Spanish, but we're going to get through this interview. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I was going to take a break. He doesn't know what I'm saying, so I'm not going to take a break. We're going to get right into it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask him some questions. You will hear Google Translate ask him, Patricio, in Spanish. He will respond in Spanish. I will translate in English. Let's see if we can do this. All right. Hold on. We've never done this before, so let's do this. I'm going to ask Patricio, how long have you been doing rap? I'm going to ask him in Spanish, how long you been doing rap? Here we go.
Tengo 10 años haciendo rap. I have been rapping for 10 years.
Wow. But listen, Patricio, listen.
I have the translate now.
¿Cuánto tiempo llevas haciendo rap?
Okay, I have been rapping for 10 years.
10 years. 10 years.
Now I am 26, but I rap
sixteen. Wow, bueno, look at that. Okay, now the second question I'm going to ask Patricio. The second question I'm going to ask him is, who inspired you?
Okay.
Who inspired you to dictate? Okay, wait. Let me get the music out. Let me get the cheering out. Okay. I'm going to ask him, who inspired you to dedicate yourself to music? That's what I'm going to ask him. Here we go. Hold on.
It was inspired by several artists from various musical genres. For example, in rap, Eminem, Wu-Tang Clan, Bigel, Mobb Deep, Dr. Dre, Tupac.
Wow!
And in rap music. And in...
Yeah! Okay. Good. Bueno.
In rock music, I like very much Linkin Park, for example.
Linkin Park. Really? They're good. And the next question I'm going to ask is, how is your life in your country? Here we go.
My life in my country is calm, despite the social problems that occur every day, in conflicts, the fights in the liberals and socialists every day, political fight.
Yeah. We have Donald Trump for problemento. Donald Trump.
Yeah. Argentina is nice country, but have the problem with the people.
I see. And we're going to ask you. We're going to ask you one more question. Then we're going to play music. Here we go. I'm going to ask. By the way, you know who's on it. Right away, his name is Patricio Crisol. Crisol, C-R-I-S-O-L. And I'm going to ask Patricio another question before he plays a song. I'm going to ask him, what themes do you express in your songs? And here we go.
I express some message of rap conscious about social problems and situations of daily life.
And now, let me see. Now, here's a hard one. I'm going to go. Do I have you on Facebook? Come on, Patricio. Do I have you on Facebook? Yeah, there you are. Okay. I'm going to tell him that we're going to play a song. I'm going to tell him I'm going to play a song. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. You're way ahead of me. We are going to play your song. Okay. I'm going to ask him. We're going to play your song in Spanish. Here we go.
Vamos a reproducir tu canción.
¿Sí? ¿Sí?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're going to play your song. This is, let me see. Here we go. I want you to take
song.
A listen. Yes.
They have some in many events, squares,
okay.
And cultural centers. Nice music, the rap. My passion,
yes.
My love.
Yes. Let me see. Okay, here we go. Again, we are worldwide, and you can tell we're worldwide. And, oh, shit. I don't know how to say shit in Spanish. Let's see. See. Ay, 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 ay. I don't have it in this studio. This is
okay. No problem.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, I have it, but hold on. Okay, we're going to play a song right now. Here you go, everybody. This is Patricio Crisol's song, his debut of his song. Here we go.
A.K.A. Dresdian.
Yes.
In my YouTube channel, I am Dresdian.
Dresdian.
Dresdian, my artist's name.
Oh, okay. Dresdian. And here we go.
Con hip hop educo, te hago truco, mentiras del coco, medito el curso, prejuicio del burro, negocio turbio, medio confuso, borroso anuncio, encuentro difuso, queda inconcluso, no abdicar, nunca deponer, tomar el poder, volver a nacer, sacar los temores, vencer o vencer.
Es la misión que requiere precisión ahora, con la adicción que acompañó, no atora, se diseñó con alta transición en la ronda, es la especificación que se añadió de onda, con la fluidez, queriendo volar, distintos tipos de acidez para esperar, vamos a suministrar de una vez, respirar y contar hasta 10, men.
Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. And what I'm going to do here is try my Spanish again. He's got better English than I do. Here you go. Here you go.
Me encanta esta canción.
Gracias, gracias. Muchas gracias.
Gracias. I just said I love this song. Now, I have one more question to ask him. One more question to ask him. Here we go. No, I think that was it. Have you sung at events and shows? Here we go.
¿Has estado en eventos y espectáculos?
Yes, yes, sí, sí. He cantado en muchas plazas, centros culturales aquí en Argentina.
Ah, and he also expressed he has sung in many events, squares and cultural centers. And one more question I want to ask him. I hope I'm doing good. I'm hoping I'm doing great. You are doing great. Let me see here. Here you go.
¿Qué temas expresas en tus canciones?
Y expreso un tipo de rap conciencia que hable sobre las problemáticas sociales, las situaciones de la vida que uno vive diariamente.
Ah, I asked him what themes do you express in your songs, and he said he expresses a message of rap awareness and social problems in a situation of daily life. Now, a lot of these questions were loaded to him earlier so I can understand it now. These are some questions that he did not know. I'm going to ask him about Donald Trump and Argentina. These are questions he does not know. What do you think about Donald Donald Trump? It has to be short because here we go.
¿Qué te parece Donald Trump?
Donald Trump me parece que sí tenía buenas ideas, pero algunas. Creo que otras han sido ideas que han asustado a la gente.
I think that's good, but I'm gonna get the real translation.
Yo me acuerdo.
Go to Facebook.
Sorry.
Facebook.
Me acuerdo el cuando he visto el debate por televisión, el debate que ha sido de Biden con Trump, y ha sido bastante gracioso porque cuando Trump decía sus ideas y Biden se le reía todo en la cara.
I got part of it. I think he prefers Biden over Donald Trump. Donald Trump has too many problems, but he's neutral. He's neutral. I'm gonna end the conversation because it's gonna be hard. I want to thank him for coming on. I want to thank you Okay. For coming on today. And again, we're international because you can tell my friend here. The song was great. The song was really great. I wish I could type faster. I want to thank you for coming on. Okay. I said I want to thank you for coming on today, and this is what we got.
Quiero agradecerles por venir hoy.
No, por favor, ha sido un gusto. Para mí es un orgullo estar en esta radio de forma internacional. Además, quiero decir que Estados Unidos es un país que quiero mucho. Me gusta mucho la cultura de ustedes, sobre todo de California.
Basically, he says I'm the greatest in the world, and nobody's better than me, and thank you, and muy bien. Very good, and thank you for coming on. I'm going to tell them to play a song last time, and then we're going to go for a break, and then we'll continue the show. That's what we're doing. And he was saying hello from California. The guy's great. Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to play your song as we end the interview. Thank you again, and be safe. From Brian Hammer Show. Okay, that's what I'm going to send to him, and this is how it's going to sound in Spanish.
Vamos a tocar
okay.
Tu canción mientras terminamos la entrevista, gracias a estar a salvo del show de Brian Hammer.
Muy bien, gracias a ustedes, el gusto es mío.
Muy bien, gracias. Ladies and gentlemen, Patricio Cristo, get his single. And you won't be disappointed, and here it is. Thank you again. It's called Dressian Incognita, featuring Jacobo, and here's the song. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Observo un estrés entrando en tus sienes. Te noto mi poder como niggas recién. Quieren saber por qué y con mi tamanera. Sonando en tu parlante, sonando más que bien. Dudas, cumbre, cubre tu futuro. Misterios de la vida, cosas escondidas. Previsto, listo, difícil por lo visto. Nunca vencido en el valle florido. Procura entender para no caer. Trata de torcer el cruel destino. No fumo, tomo vino. Tengo el dominio, quieren tu exterminio, aquí yo te lo digo, mensajes ocultos del bajo mundo, quieren tu luto, abre tus ojos, mira el lobo, piensa el zorro, menos estudio, voz sin preludio,
José Bo 23, junto a Dresden, incógnita,
sintiendo la neblina que avanza. Formándose así es como alcanza. Sonará la ayuda o el impedimento. Aquí todavía rige el intento. Lo resuelvo teniendo persistencia, aunque sean de dudosa procedencia. Estuve confiado pero me mantuve serio. Todo se desarrolla en el misterio. Ya no consumo este tipo de mercadería, porque ahora he subido de categoría. El buen cuidado fue esencial, como también participar en la clase presencial. Tengo un tiempo para ir haciendo y un tiempo para ir pensando. Así es como voy invirtiendo y cada opción seleccionando.
Sí, cada opción seleccionando. Get to Health Records 300 Josemo 23.
Con hip hop educo, te hago truco, mentiras del coco, medito el buzo, prejuicio del burro, negocio turbio, medio confuso, borroso anuncio, cuento difuso, queda inconcluso, no abdicar, nunca deponer, tomar el poder, volver a nacer, sacar los temores, vencer o vencer.
Es la misión que requiere precisión ahora, con la adicción que acompañó, no atora, se diseñó con alta transición en la ronda, es la especificación que se añadió de onda, con la fluidez, queriendo volar, distintos tipos de acidez para esperar, vamos a suministrar de una vez, respirar y contar hasta 10, men.
Wow, Patricio, Crisco, Crisco, the rapper, gracias, 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 my friend, mi amigo, gracias, and
gracias,
ciao, mi amigo, and we'll be right back with Brian the Hammer Jackson Show again, everybody, Patricio, Crisco. And we'll be right back with Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. I mean, he was just great. He was just really great. We have some more show coming up, and stay with us. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump and a lot of other stuff, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I wish I could. You speak beautiful English, my friend, mi amigo. Beautiful English, beautiful English.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We have a lot of shows, so if you'd like to come in the studio, you know the number. I just said it. If you don't have the number, I will say it again. But if you like to talk to Patricio Crisco, you can reach him on my Facebook, which is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you can message me. And if you like a song or something, you know, for listening to the show, you let me know. Let him know how great he is. He's on my Facebook. You can do the Google Translate. Let him know that he sounded great. I mean, that would be really cool. That would be really cool that you give feedback. All right. We'll be right back with more Brian the Hammer Jackson in a minute.
Come back down, earth, son. Dig below. Papa Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad statue, the dirty Lord down. Got you thinking like that, boy.
Even though the beautiful Spanish from Argentina. Thank you so much, mi amigo. I got to go on with the show now. We're getting a lot of surprises this week. A lot of surprises. Tomorrow is Friday. Yeah, it usually comes after Thursday. And on Friday, my favorite psychic is coming back. She'll be here. Her name is Pat. Pat will be coming back to the show and do some psychic reading. It's my favorite. She's one of my favorite psychics. So she's coming on tomorrow. And we're going to be doing a twist. I'm almost booked, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Patricio's saying. Thank you. So Pat's coming on tomorrow. Here it is. Back in the day, Montel Williams, he used to have a psychic. I forgot her name. She passed away since then, I think. And he only trusted her. Damn, I can't remember her name. Montel Williams. He was a black, Montel's still alive. He's a black, TV host like, Ellen and, no, not Ellen, Greg Ellen. Who can I say is like, Oprah. He used to have a show like Oprah, bring on guests and everything. And he believed in her. Well, Pat Oberlin is mine. And I've had psychics on his show. I've been on the air for over 11 years. And I've had psychics on my show. But nobody like Pat. Pat is the greatest. She is really good. She's going to come on tomorrow. She's going to do some tarot card reading, if you'd like to be part of that. And come in and have a special reading to hear my voice. And you'll hear this, again, tomorrow. When I say tomorrow, it's going to be the 7th, October 7th, at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So meaning you'll hear this podcast tonight, you still have time to come into the studio. And if you'd like to come into the studio and you just don't know how to get in, all you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio. Is it Blog Talk Radio? Is it Blog Talk Radio? BlogTalkRadio.com. I always miss a... BlogTalkRadio.com/ Brian Hammer Jackson. You'll go right to my page, hit follow, hit the follow button, and that's a way for you to be alerted how to listen to the show live or on your podcast. Again, talkradio.com/ Brian Hammer Jackson. And that's how you'll listen to the show tomorrow. And you'll listen to the great Pat Oberlin. She's the best psychic, man. She is a fucking great psychic. I love this lady. And the first six people who go to my page, again on Facebook, it's Brian Hammer Jackson. And on Twitter, it's at Hammer AOD. That's HAMMERAOD. That's Artist on Deck AOD. So Hammer AOD. That's how you reach me on Twitter. And you can always DM me. You're the first five or six people. Maybe you'll get a reading. She's going to give that away. That's Friday. And we're not done yet. Monday, we have a correction officer. And I spoke to him yesterday. And he's telling me stories that curled my hair in the back of my neck about serial killers and what happened at San Quentin and what's going on in San Quentin right now as we speak. Some horror stories. There was a horror story he told me about. He's telling me this horror story that this woman, this older woman, was having a visit, and she was visiting her son. So the guard says, okay, you're visiting your son. She goes, yes, I'm visiting my son. And then she said to the guard, what baby wants, baby gets. And the guard got suspicious, going, what are you talking about, baby wants, baby get? And the guard says, okay, open up your hand. And she had a handful of condoms, handful of condoms. So this sick, twisted motherfucker was going to have a conjugal visit with his mother. And he was telling me this other tragic story, the serial killer stories about these, is a serial killer. It was a couple. And she was an RN. And they were serial killers. I didn't get much of the news. So they used to drive in Los Angeles. It's a little county in Los Angeles called Orange County. Orange County is a conservative area. I mean, they vote for Donald Trump. Beautiful area. Disneyland. If you think of Disneyland, you're thinking Orange County. So it's that area. And they used to go around killing people, and then they would cut off their heads, and they would do sexual things with their skulls. These are the stories he's telling me. These are just the nice ones that I'm telling you. You should hear the real, I mean, up-to-date stories that's happened behind the San Quentin walls about serial killers and how they're living, and, oh, it's horrible. It's scary. He's coming on Monday. T-Bone is coming on Monday. Coming on Monday to tell us about San Quentin horror stories that's going on in San Quentin right now and some of these horror stories and serial killers and the tears about Charles Manson. It'll make you just cringe. So he's on Monday. And then I think, when is she coming on? She is coming on. Now I got a real treat for you. I got to find out when she's coming on, though. Her name is Rachel Lux. You can't miss this one. You can't miss this one. Oh, this is an old one. When is she? I got to get the new one. I think she's coming on October 14th. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to make sure I get the date correctly. Because you don't want to miss her. Beautiful lady. Let me see. That's an old one. I think it's going to be the 14th, but you'll be up to date with Rachel. You'll be up to date with Rachel. And in a minute, you know why. I'm telling you, you'll be up to date. See, Rachel is a special author. Special author. She just doesn't write erotica. Which she does, but with a twist, with a twist. Some of her books are original erotic romance for women. And guys, you got to remember, when they write romance for women, let me tell you something, that's why I'm the greatest lover of all time. Because I infiltrated the women's conversation, and I infiltrated them. When they say an erotic romance for women, guys, you got to go. Because what she's telling you is these are stories women like, and they get off on that, right? because we don't know. So you got to go and you got to get infiltrated so you have that edge. So when you're with your wife, your girlfriend, your lover, whoever, you know the secret. So this is Rachel Lux. She's coming on, and she's going to talk about her book. Again, she's original erotic romance for women. The book is called Blood and Lies. It's a dark romantic comedy, erotic comedy. She's giving away a freebie. She has one called, upcoming book called Fever, an erotic sci-fi romance. It's really interesting. And this is a little bit about her. I mean, she's fascinating. She's smart. She's pretty. First time in a long time we had somebody who's just openly talking about the art of erotica. And I'm going to see if I can get her. I got so much stuff that's open here that I'm trying to get to. So we haven't been this full in a while. I think she's coming on the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to go to, and you can go to Amazon. Go to Amazon. Put in Rachel Lux, L-U-X. It'll be the first time she's going to be on a show. And here it is. This is something about Rachel. Rachel Lux, she fell in love with writing at the age of 11. She got her MFA in creative writing from Mills College at the age of 30. She has been feverishly writing erotic romance ever since, driven by an obsession with the process of falling in love and the exploration of women's sexual fantasies. She writes erotic romances with an unexpected twist. She embraces the spiritual, the dark, the magical, and the taboo. That's what she does. Her book, Blood and Lies, is a dark romance. You'll be talking about that. And here's a little bit of that book. A spacecraft falls to Earth, unleashing a devastating virus. Months later, one woman is left behind, alone and terrified. She has to battle for her life against the vampire, starvation, and the creeping madness of isolation. But the man who brought the virus down from the stars, he comes to find her to save her. But he wants to make her his pet. So she has a choice now. Become a slave to pain and pleasure, or go on fighting alone. That's the book. Blood and Lies, a dark romance, sci-fi, B&D, who knew? Rachel will be on the show. Rachel's going to be on the show. She's coming on, like I said, next week or the week after. I'll find out, give you an update on that. Beautiful woman, tough woman, strong woman. And we get a little peeky-peeky in the world of sci-fi BDSM. Wow. I bring it to you. Who brings it to you? Hammer's going to bring it to you. That's right. That's right. I brought it to you. I brought it to you. And we're going to bring it to who sings that song? But here's for my guest. So you can see I'm going to go set. There you go. So I'm all booked up, so be there for the romance, the BDSM romance, the sci-fi romance. Be there for the psychic who knows all, the great Pat Oberlin. Nobody's better than her. Be there tomorrow. Get a little thing read for you for the tarot card reading. Be there Monday and hear about the horrifying things that normal human beings you don't think would do to another human being. It's a story about the serial killers and some of these people and what's going on in San Quentin right now, behind the walls of San Quentin. It's still going on. It's horrible. About the shot callers. You know what a shot caller is? A shot caller is a guy who's in prison. Or he doesn't have to be in prison. He's a shot caller. Just listening to the word shot caller, you should know what shot caller is. He's the guy who calls the shots. He's the guy who, with a wink of an eye, you're dead. you're going to put a hit on you like you would not believe. He's the one who puts the hit on people. And listen to the shot caller, man. Wow. So all that starting tomorrow on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. How you like that, guys? I'm opening up a new group in Facebook called Actors Breakdown and Musicians. So I always encourage you guys to join to be casting notices and musician jobs and music and stuff like that. I'm getting that together. I'm trying to work on that together. You may have a little surprise. A blast of the past may be coming back to the studio to say hello once in a while. That's right. I'll give you a hint. She was once my executive producer. She may be coming back for a little bit to say hello, to say how we're doing. I think that's cool. That's it. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about some stuff that's going on. I talk a little bit about Donald Trump. But I do have something else on my mind. All right, if you'd like to come in the studio and talk to me, I gave you the number twice. Do I have to give it to you three times? Come on. It's 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. You're on, or you're listening to, and I know some of you at work, you haven't listened to them in a long time. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson. Look at that. Remember that, guys? You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson. You lucky sons of bitches. I'll be right back.
My mind's telling me no. But my body telling me yes. Baby, I don't want to hurt nobody. But there is something that I must confess.
What you need, girl. Thank you.
too, Bumpy. 2 Minute Brother. I love that name. I don't know why the women named me the 2 Minute Brother. I was always on time. All right. When I get to story, but you know, what is your worst fear? We're going to get to that story. There's a couple of stories I want to get to, and one about Brady, too. I want to get to that story. But, you know, if you're a family person, what is your worst fear that something's going to happen to your family? There's a case right now in Los Angeles that is very disturbing. I'm hearing it ringing in my ear, and I don't know if you're hearing that on the air, but I'm going to keep on going. I have 6 people in the studios, but I don't know them, so I can't trust them. I don't know if the studio knows noise. The worst fear that you have is somebody messing with your family, man. The worst fear is that. And there's a case right now in California, San Francisco. It is a heartbreaking case, man. Oh, my God. I can't think of anything worse. Well, let me tell you the story of what's happening here. And the news showed it. They showed they had the hidden camera. Showed these people coming out with zip, on their arms, almost like handcuffs, you know, zip cuffs or whatever. Why don't I just read it? This is coming from the Associated Press. Our worst fears: kidnapped baby, parents, uncle, found dead. It's horrible. This happened in San Francisco. A baby girl, her parents, and uncle were found dead in a Central California orchard. In a orchard. This is 2 days after they were kidnapped at gunpoint from their businesses. Beautiful family. Our worst fears have been confirmed. That's what the sheriff said. He said that yesterday at a news conference. Warnke, Warnke, I'm just going to say it like I see it. He didn't release much information about how and when police believe they were killed. He said the victims were close to each other and were found by a farm worker in a remote area. And the camera showed the couple coming out with the guy, and their hands were ziplocked with those plastic things. Then it shows them getting in the car, as you know, and a little baby was there too, little cute little baby. And next thing you know, they're shot. I don't know if they were shot in the head, but they were found dead in the orchard. The grim announcement came after authorities early Wednesday released a video of a man kidnapping an 8-month-old Arohi, A-R-O-O-H-I. And her mother, Jasleen, she's only 27. Her father, Jasdeep Singh, 36. And her uncle, Amardeep Singh, 39, on Monday. Oh, beautiful family. Authorities said they were taken by a convicted robber who tried to kill himself a day after the kidnapping. Scumbag. You know, this is what I wish I was there. I'm telling you, I don't think I would be a good cop. I would have to rough him up a little bit, man. I'm sorry. I have to do a little Chicago PD justice, if you know what I'm talking about. The show. Jesus Salgado, 48. This is the bastard, the lowlife, who kidnapped that family. He tried to kill himself. He's in critical condition and was taken to the custody, but he has been talking to police. There is no motive for the kidnapping. He just did it. The sheriff department said there's no words right now to how to describe the anger. And, you know, I like this sheriff. He wasn't PC. He wasn't trying to, whatever you want to call, quote, professional. He was a human being. And this is what he said. There's no words right now to describe the anger I feel and the senselessness of this incident. I said it earlier. There's a special place in hell for this guy. The investigators, including a crime lab technician from California Department of Justice, they're going to be processing the crime through the night. There's no reason for it. the relatives of Sagato, that's the killer, contacted authorities reporting that he had admitted to them he was involved with the kidnapping. So the sheriff told KFSN-TV on Tuesdays. Sagato tried to take his own life before police arrived at a home in nearby Atwater, California. And he has since been hospitalized. The video released earlier Wednesday showed that the suspect first walking by the property before talking to one of the men. Later it shows him leading the men, who had their hands zip-tied behind their back, into the back seat of a pickup truck. The suspect then went back to the trailer that served as a business office and led Jasdeep Singh, who was carrying her baby in her arms, out into the truck before the suspect then drove away. Family members said nothing was stolen from the trucking company, but their relatives were all wearing jewelry. Wonky has said that after the kidnappings, an ATM card belonging to one of the victims was used 9 miles away. I think this is the story, but it's only 30 seconds, but it might do. I don't know if it's, no, it's not going to work. Well, that's basically the story. The sheriff says we're hoping that they can now at least have some kind of closure. It's not the closure we've been hoping for. It's not the closure we were hoping for. Family members had earlier asked anyone who owns a convenience store or gas station in the area to check their surveillance camera for images of the suspect or those missing. They said they were worried that the baby wasn't being fed because the family didn't have any baby food with them at the time of the kidnapping. This motherfucker had tattoos all around his neck and everything. He says, I mean, I could picture myself with a rock crushing this motherfucker's skull, what he did to this family. I shouldn't be saying that, right? Salgado, who was the killer, was previously convicted of first-degree robbery with the use of a firearm in Merced County, that's in California, as well as attempted false imprisonment and attempt to prevent or dissuade a victim or witness. He was sentenced to 11 years in state prison in that case, according to the California Department of Correction and Rehabilitation. He got out on parole. That's basically it. Sad, sad story. We're going to try to do a... I got to do a transition on that. I just can't go into another story. What, you know, just a sad story. I don't have transition music because I don't have an executive producer in here, but I'm going to try to do a transition thing.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah. You know, this is not the time. You know, there's always two things that a little boy, when you're like 12 to 15, that you dream about. You always dream about you're in a two-story house. Your bedroom is upstairs, and your bedroom window is pointing to the other house across the way. And the other house across the way is another window. It peeks into the bedroom. And your fantasy, it never works out. It's only in the movies. That some hot teenage girl, all of a sudden, her family moves in, and there you go. Her bedroom and your bedroom are facing each other. I'm just talking about a teenage fantasy. There's a couple of them are go-tos. And, you know, eventually you both come out on your roofs and you talk and blah, 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 blah. But you know what I'm talking about. Or the other go-to is a freshly divorced hot mom who's still kind of young. Maybe she's 23, 24. You're about 16. And her ego is bruised and you give her a little, you know, and then she pays you to rake her or mow her lawn. And you really were thinking about really mowing her bush. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you know, the summer of 42. If you haven't seen the movie, go to YouTube and look at the trailer. You know, the divorcee hot mom. This is another go-to for young boys. Well, this haven't been a good week for the final go-to, meaning fall in love with a supermodel and have super babies, because the babies are going to look really great, you know. Of course, if they look like the mother, they're going to look like the babies look like they're malnourished and they're on heroin and they're skinny and they're sucked in cheekbones. But it hasn't been a good week for supermodels because we just did a story on Levine, Adam Levine, and his super wife, that she's ready to give birth to his, I think, third child. And he's up there typing, you know, naughty naughties to other women for, like, porn. And I think his business management saves him money because back in the day, either you call those hotlines, remember, $1.99 a minute? Woo, I ran up a bill. But it's free porn. And everybody's getting on Adam Levine, and it's like, shut the hell up. She's ready to give a baby. Her water is ready to break. She does not want to see a penis. Right now, I have never been pregnant, but I'm pretty sure when she's ready to pop, the last thing she's thinking about is giving Adam Levine a blowjob. That's the last thing that's on her mind, or even seeing the penis. I guarantee you, if she even sees anything that looks like a penis, she squeezes it so hard that it pops. Not interested. She got a human being in her body. And I'm sure she's a nice person that says, you go to your porn. You go to your porn. I think she talks like that. And he went to his porn. Leave him alone. Well, it's another supermodel that's having a hard time at this point. 111, welcome to the show. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. How you doing, 111?
Good morning, Turkey.
Good morning, moronic. Isn't it moronic? Isn't that the song of what's her name? You're my jagged little pill. You know that? Isn't it moronic?
Hey, that's your story, not mine.
Something Levine. What's her? Isn't it ironic? I forgot her name. Hey,
so, you lied. You said you were going to be on yesterday, and you weren't.
Oh, I know. I had a meeting I could not get out of. How about that?
Yeah,
I'm here now. I just had a good interview with a gentleman from Argentina. He's a rapper.
Really? What about?
Yeah. Patricio Crisol. C-R-I-S-O-L.
What about?
What do you mean, what about? He's debuting his album, his song, in the United States, and he used our show as a platform.
He heard about
the great Ryan the Hammer Jackson interviews, and he wanted to be interviewed by me. We're worldwide. He's from
Argentina. There you go.
That's right. Don't cry for me, Argentina. You know, the truth is, I never left them, but all through my wild days.
Hey,
like what I said to you yesterday. I kept my promise. You keep your distance.
Yeah, they're first world, aren't they? How's their economy doing?
Economy is not good.
Did he mention that during the interview?
He did mention that. He mentioned it in Spanish, and I cannot translate to yours. He would have to kill me. No, in Argentina, they're having some problems politically. So are some of these other countries. Everybody, even Britain's having problems. They're in shape, our little Londoners in Great Britain. They're in, oh, my God. You know, the dollar has never, you get on me for not talking about finances and about stock markets and about industry.
I do, and I thought about
you
that.
Get on
and
me.
And I said, you know, that is so negligent, but continue.
I know my audience. They're not interested in that. My audience wants to get away from those problems. They don't want to hear about the stock market, you know, losing money. They don't want to hear about Twitter not being sold
anymore.
Are you
sure?
I'm sure. They don't want to hear about it. But tell you, the dollar, we have the strongest economy.
What indicators do you have that that's the case?
Our dollar has never been stronger. All right, do you realize that our dollar, I want you to look it up because I don't have time to go all the way. Do you realize that our dollar is even stronger the last time our dollar was this strong was 1776.
No, even during
World War II, our dollar, the dollar is stronger than World War II. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at that, strong dollar.
You must have at least two mouths. Close both of them.
I will not.
Okay. That's not true, yourself,
or I will close one of yours. Remember, on this show, I am God. I give you life, and I breathe breath to you. Go ahead, Mr. Solution. Go ahead.
You use a breath mint, buddy. Look here.
Go ahead.
The dollar is not strong. It's only strong vis-a-vis. I'm going to give you some information here, which is, that's certainly not your forte. Look, it's only strong compared to other weak currencies. If you go to the Minneapolis Federal Reserve, they have what's called an inflation calculator, right? You follow me?
Tell me another story.
You go to the inflation calculator that goes all the way back to 1913, and it will tell you that the dollar has lost something like 98%.
No, that is completely wrong. That is wrong.
Do you know how to use the calculator?
Listen. I'm going to give you – no, the calculator uses me for information. But I'm going to give you this. You're a smart guy. And I'm going to try to explain what
I
mean.
I haven't finished.
The Federal Reserve has a calculator,
and you
keep on doing
too.
Okay. Listen.
Okay, go ahead. I must listen.
Dollar
I'm
is
compelled
considered strong.
To listen to
I'm
going to
say this.
Continue.
All right. The dollar is considered strong. And please listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
When it rises in value against other currencies, when we're talking about the pesos or we're talking about other foreign currencies, the dollar against other foreign currencies in the exchange market, and we can see that the dollar is still holding its value. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Britain has the Great Britain or UK. Man, their money.
Shut up a minute.
No,
let me
you
give
shut
you an
up
example.
A minute. I'll give
if,
you an example.
If you review
money,
history
Brit,
back in 19...
It's like,
hold on a minute. Back in 1960, one could buy a Mustang for $2,500, right? You remember the car, the Mustang vehicle? 64 right in there.
Born yet.
For 20, and one could buy a nice middle-class home for $10,000, right? And one was considered financially secure if they had amassed $100,000. Why is that not true today if the dollar is so strong?
And
remember one time at gold was sold for like $31 an ounce, right? What is it selling for today? You're a fool.
Don't listen to him. He wasn't loved as a child. He was not even breastfed. He had to even his. You don't listen to him.
Remember the Mustang.
If you
the
want,
Mustang
all you have to do
20...
is research.
Mustang.
If you don't
listen
believe
a
me,
minute, buddy. Listen.
Well,
I know you're smart. Oh, you're brilliant.
Back.
Oh man, you're
go
sharp.
Google it and ask.
Back in 1964, one could buy
today.
A Mustang for $20.
His currency today will be the dollar.
$2,500. So the dollar has continually lost value. When Nixon
no,
in 71,
the pound,
when Nixon
the
took,
pound has
when,
continually
when Nixon took
lost
the U.S.
value.
Off the gold standard in 70, I believe it was 71, what was gold selling for at that particular juncture?
Oh, I don't know. Let me put it up in my portfolio, and I'll tell you when gold was selling in 1971. Listen to me. This is for the audience.
No one should listen to you. Yes, the point is, admit,
I'm not
you don't know
admit
what the
shit.
Hell you're
I'm
talking about.
I'm admitting something that is truth, but you don't want it. You don't want it to be true because you want to say it that it's true. It's not true what you're saying. The dollar is
okay.
The strongest.
One couldn't buy a home
in the world
in 1960.
Now.
Wait a minute. Listen. Let me finish the sentence. I'm asking you an interrogative expression. One couldn't buy a home for $10,000 in 1960, a middle-class home. See, homes have not gone up.
You're off. Let me tell you.
Listen, nincompoop. Homes have not gone up. The value of the dollar has shrunk.
Don't be calling names, moron. Don't be calling.
Well, a moron squared. You're
not
just an ordinary moron.
You're not listening. You want to hear yourself talk. It's boring to me. So I'm going to move on. I'm just saying, if you really want to know how strong, all you have to do is Google the strongest currency today. And the dollar
but
is
But you don't
strong.
Understand. They're not using an accurate standard. They're comparing citing this is using a relative standard. They're not using a standard where the dollar is pegged to something like silver or gold. I mean, how much is gold? Look at the price of gold or the price of silver.
Well,
remember, there was what was called at one juncture. This is in history. You can easily read it. There was what was called a $20 gold piece. What is a $20 gold piece selling for today?
I'm hearing snoring of my audience.
And if you go back to the 1960s, idiot, a gallon of gas was 10 cents or less.
What? Well,
why
tell
is
me
it
that was
now $5?
That was not in the 60s. Now listen to me.
Well, you can read about it, dummy.
I can't read. I made that a point.
I don't really mean to call you a dummy because you're not.
Yes, you do.
You're not
you're a
real
nitwit.
You're not a real dummy. You're a fake dummy.
Because you know what? People with limited vocabularies will result in name-calling because they can't talk. They don't have enough. They don't have enough verbiage in their vocabulary, so they have to result to name-calling.
Let's see. Is anyone else on the line?
There's seven
is,
people
is another intelligent mind
people,
out there? Now, I'm just looking on
up.
Earth. I'm not looking in outer space. Is there
right,
another intelligent mind on the line?
Listen to me. I'm talking about relationship before we leave. Listen to me. That's why you came on the show. I'm saying this is a worse week for supermodels. You know, and it's really weird. And now I'm going to talk to you, Mr. Solution. You know, we always think about the perfect woman or the perfect lifestyle, and sometimes you have to think nothing is perfect. Human beings are not meant to be satisfied. I think once a human being is meant to be satisfied, they die. They need conflict in their life. They need challenges in their life. They need drama in their life. This.
Well, what does the word peace mean?
Huh?
P-E-A-C-E. What does that
mean? I don't know. It could mean different. That could be different from anybody. You know, that's one of those words that love. Love means so many different things.
Well, what's the denotative?
People.
What's the dictionary definition of the word peace?
A peace?
No, not a
know.
Peace. Peace.
One more time. Spell it. Spell it. P-E-A-C-E.
Well, you're the one with the big vocabulary.
Are you saying peace, P-E-A-C-E? That's what I'm hearing? Come on, Mr. Solution. You can't have dead air. Come on. You got to keep
talking. That's the rumor.
All right. Peace, freedom from disturbance, tranquility. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as tranquility in a human being or in their lifestyle. Once you have
why
that.
Why do we have the word? Why do we have that concept?
It is a word. It is something to achieve. But human beings cannot achieve peace. They
okay.
cannot.
Okay, all right. All right, philosopher.
And I'll tell you why. There has to be conflict. There has to be challenges. There has to be something. You know, when people retire and they die early, and the reason they die early is because you have to have a reason to wake up. You have to have the reason to wake up and do something, the next, whether to see your wife or your kids or whatever, or go to work.
Okay, hold on. That's called poor planning. They didn't plan
but
to transition.
Don't have a reason to wake up and to exist.
Well, that was up to them. They didn't transition.
That's how it works.
That's
it's
their fault.
Works. No, it's nobody's fault. When you have no reason to wake up, like you have the reason to wake up, you want to listen to the show, and you don't want to miss me.
But they could give themselves a reason and then pursue that.
No. I mean, you're saying what I'm saying. You just said they should give themselves a reason. Now you're saying that they need some
challenges. Hardly ever saying what you're saying, but go on.
Of course not, because you don't want to make sense. No, but do you understand?
Yeah, that's it.
No, seriously.
Hey,
I'm trying
who
to
else
really,
knows that you're
to
on? I
want to
get some other intelligent minds in here. Go on with your silly scenario, though. I want to hear this.
I will. I am saying, because my audience knows what I'm saying, you know, these words of peace and these words of tranquility and these worlds of relaxation and these worlds of freedom, they do not exist in a human being, and they will not be achieved by humanoids. And the reason they will not be achieved is we always need something. We need some conquest in our lives. We need challenges. We need to overcome obstacles. We need this. It keeps us alive. It keeps us winning, and it keeps us losing, and it keeps us going forward. Once you find tranquility or peace, I don't think the monks find it. I know what you're saying. Every time you see on TV, oh, look, they're little ball heads and they're zenning out and they look at peaceful. They're not peaceful. If they were peaceful, they would quit trying to meditate all the time and go out of their bodies and go to a different consciousness. Stay in this other consciousness. What's wrong with you, monks? So what I am trying to – so it brings me to the story of Tom Brady. I mean, on the outside, you're looking at the perfect guy, a handsome guy. Look at this guy at 44. Look at this guy. He's good looking. Money. He marries a supermodel. They got super babies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got so many houses. It's just unbelievable. They are not financially at all in trouble. The guy is trying to start his own cryptocurrency, for God's sake. On the outside, they are perfect. Until Giselle talking to her divorce lawyer. They're getting a divorce. What in God's name is going on here?
Do you have a prenup?
I think they do. But here's the story right here, though. Here's the story. Now, Tom Brady is worth $250 million, Tom Brady. And the gays, if you don't know who Tom Brady is, he's a football player. He used to play for the New England Patriots. Now he plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm just catching the gays up on sports and the ladies up on sports. The gays. Tom Brady's worth $250 million. His wife, Giselle Bundchen, is worth $450 million. She's worth double than Tommy is. Tommy, can you hear me?
Why is she worth more?
Because she's a supermodel. Endorsements.
Okay.
My God, man. She's worth twice as much as Tom Brady is. Tom Brady's not
now,
even
Now, you know
Tom.
That for a fact?
I know it for, oh my God, I will not say this information because you can easily check it. Yes, I do know it for a fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack.
I'm just asking. I'm just trying to confirm or continue.
Yes, that's a fact, Jack. 111, you're live on the air. Is this Sarge?
Yeah, it is, man. Boy, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind based upon what I just heard you say.
Hey, Sarge, thank God, because let me tell you, I was praying for another intelligent being to appear. Oh, bless you.
Well, I really appreciate that you think I am, but I'm just a guy who's lived a lot of life, seen a lot of things, and, man, what I'm hearing today is such doublespeak, and that is the only word for it, doublespeak. And I don't think Brian is consciously trying to doublespeak. I think he actually believes that two contradictory thoughts can be held in his mind at the same time and both can be true. And I think he's actually honest about it much of the time. And here's what
I'd
like to say.
Well, in his mind, it can.
What are you referring to, Sarge?
Exactly. And here's what I'd like to juxtapose what he just said about striving and challenges and reasons to get up in the day. And that I completely agree with you on, Brian. I agree with you utterly, totally, and absolutely. But, Brian, I'd like to juxtapose something that just came up in the news yesterday against what you just said, which shows that need, that essential aspect of the human being is being mitigated or being about to be destroyed forever. Have you heard what happened at New York University with these students who wanted to get got a professor fired or his contract not renewed because they said his course in organic chemistry was too hard?
Really? No, I didn't hear that story.
Yeah. No, really. Look it up.
Okay. No, I believe
New York University. He was given a cast on organic chemistry, which is what, by the way, doctors have to take in order to treat us properly and diagnose what's wrong with us. And these poor little babies were complaining about the course is too hard. And this is one of the most well-known, respected teachers of the subject who literally wrote some of the books on modern-day organic chemistry, who's teaching them. And rather than appreciating the gift by being challenged by one of the greatest instructors of the subject, they want to whine and complain about it. These people today are coddled, and they don't believe in challenges. They believe in having the road paved for them and the skids greased. Too many do, not all, but the trend is increasing. And you need to start taking note of that too, Brian, because it's not good for any of us.
I heard it, and you're right. It's not. I say it on the show, Sarge, that we have millennials running the world now. We are obsolete. They don't even do commercials to kind of woo us into buying products anymore. When I say we, anybody who's over 49 years old is out of the market. They don't care. They're not pitching to us anymore. We are non-existent. There's a new breed that are taking over, and the millennials, and they're fucked up in the head. These are the people who say, you have to raise a kid with a village or something? I know Hillary Clinton came up with that
village.
Bullshit.
Yeah, take the village.
I know she came, but it was in the millennial area.
Some Marxist notion come African aphorism. That's what it is. It's just silly.
Look,
man. When I went to Ranger School, we had a dropout rate of something like 35%, and these were some of the youngest, fittest men in the armed forces, and they were getting kicked out of Ranger School. You know, and they told us you can do more if you think you can do more. It ain't the end of the rope. Just push a little bit harder. That was the whole point of it, to try to make you find out what the limits of your endurance is.
Right.
And we don't do that to the extent that we used to with people coming up nowadays, and that is just not good. We're told we've got to look what they're doing. Look what they're doing by design, by policy in the black community. When it comes to education and learning, they are literally saying they need to have a critical race theory standard of different grading standards for black students in many places run by progressives throughout the United States.
Yeah, I hear you.
Is this good for black people? Do you think the Tuskegee Airmen had a grading curve when they turned out to be one of the best fighter squadrons in the United States Army Air Force? Do you think they have that? No. They didn't cut him.
There's two parts to that. They were the best.
No,
you're
was
right.
It fair? No, it wasn't fair. Did it make them better?
But they gave him a curve because they put him as an all-colored airmen.
So they had low expectations, but they didn't
diminish
the standard.
They had very low expectations because they didn't think they had the
diminish the standard expected of a fighter pilot in the United States Army Air Force. That's the point. It wasn't fair, but it made them stronger.
Yes, I agree.
And at the end of the war, you know, after the war was over, do you know that the Air Force had a nationwide competition of pilots who were still flying piston engine aircraft in aircraft gunnery and air-to-ground dive bombing and everything else? Do you know the squadron out of all the fighter squadrons in the United States Air Force that came out number one? It was the Tuskegee Airmen who did it.
Yeah.
Number one in all the grades and all the sports, air-to-air gunnery, air-to-air combat, and bombing, dive bombing, air-to-ground bombing. Number one.
Yes, and you
and
can
you
go
think,
back.
Do you think they would have been better? You think they would have been better if they'd have been coddled, like we're seeing today in much of the armed forces?
Right.
No.
I agree with you 100%. The state of mind
Why do you think this is coming about, Brian?
These soft men.
Why do you
men?
Think all this is happening now?
Because these men are soft. They are no longer men. They are sensitive beings. Even these women are getting sick and tired of these men. Because I'll talk to people, and these women goes, I cannot stand a weak man. I cannot stand these men who are indecisive. I cannot stand a man who can't make a decision. I cannot stand a man who weeps at a girly movie. I cannot stand a man who's saying, well, how do you feel today? Tell me about your feelings. I want to know.
Brian, don't you understand, the things that me and Mr. Solutions regularly talk to you about are the things that are happening in this culture that are a direct result of progressivism, radical gender determinist feminism, this transhuman phenomenon that's popping up. You know, all of these, the Davos in Switzerland, all of these currents are working together to create a hurricane that will destroy this civilization.
Well, I don't know if it's going to destroy this civilization.
And we keep trying to strike at the little trees that are making up the entire forest. It's a forest growing up around. It's not just a bunch of trees.
We're not going to destroy the civilization. We are.
Hey, sorry. Look
that,
here.
You know.
There are so many things to confront us. But look here. I was. You were explaining some history to Brian. All right, which he's almost just. Numb to.
I was attempting to explain to him that the dollar, that's
only a relative standard.
When they talk about the dollar increasing,
it's increasing amongst falling asset classes. For example, and I gave him some palpable examples, and I'll just recite those and see how you feel about it. That's the reason I was saying it was glad
listen,
that you entered. I was glad that you entered.
Why people put
Brian
the guts of their heads blow their brains out,
his,
and I lose my audience members one by one.
What I said to you don't have an audience. What I said to him was, in 1960, and as recently as 1960, that one could buy a home for $10,000, a middle-class home. I also pointed out the 1964 Mustang was like $2,500. And I also pointed out that in the 1960s, if one were to amass a mere $100,000, that they were set for life in terms of financial security. And he didn't, and also one other, I pointed out that Nixon removed America off of the gold standard, I believe in 71. And gold was something like,
there goes my audience, killed themselves.
It was $30 an ounce. If your audience doesn't want to understand money, they are a fool like you. And so what I was explaining to Brian is that the dollar has lost something like 90%+
the
of its purchasing power.
The dollar did not
power.
Lose. I tell you, very simple. All you have to do is
okay,
Google.
Sarge, did you hear what I said? I would like for you to comment.
Yeah, I think the real index, yes, there's no doubt that inflation has
Hold on a minute, Sarge,
dollar.
Before you comment,
Why did you ask him to comment, then you cut him off?
What are you
doing?
Hold on,
yeah, because this is important.
So
I gave him two, for example, two inflation calculator. One by the Minneapolis Federal Reserve, and the other is by the it's the Department of Labor CPI index inflation. Stop being an idiot, Brian. It goes all the way back to 1913. Go ahead.
Brian,
I'm going to send the ATF to take away your guns. You obviously are irresponsible.
Hey, leave my Second Amendment alone, Mr.
Yeah, look.
What Mr.
Solution said is pointing us in the right direction as we consider what the dollar is and why it is worth less compared to what it was before. Now, while it is true that home ownership has gone up tremendously, I think the way to look at it is what percentage of the typical income of the time period could you buy a house for as compared to what you can buy it for now with much higher incomes by number.
That has fault, Barge.
There's no doubt that even though... You know,
compare buying a house in the 1960s as buying a house in 2022 because of the cost of living.
But why was home ownership so much more common then?
Well, to see about it.
Wait a minute. Wait, one more thing. Why could people literally believe that all things being equal and with the normal amount of expected prudence and hard work, you would own a home in time? You would own your own home and be a homeowner. That is not the expectation today. Now, why is that, Brian?
Because we're not what we usually do is that usually you get paid and people get raises and bonuses because of the cost of living. And what's been happening the last 10 years is, I think it's been 10 years or 11 years, that people have not been getting the bonuses and they've been getting the cost of living wages. And therefore, inflation is getting sky high. We got rid of before, back in the day.
So, in other words, the dollar truly is worthless, isn't it?
Solution, let me finish this.
It's worthless.
We used to have four classes.
It is worthless than what it was then.
You used to have four classes.
Even though you had less dollars back then, that dollar went further to buy more.
Well,
you don't even have to look at the indicators, which you have to look at to make a valid determination, like Mr. Solution said, but you could just simply ask yourself the question. People had an expectation of home ownership. If you had a middle income, you had an expectation of home ownership. People don't have that now, Brian.
No. You can't just go by that because there's also a time where we had the bank crisis where they were passing out bad loans in the banks and the banks were losing money and we had to bail out banks.
Your government caused that, Brian, directly.
Whatever caused it.
With
the
Community Reinvestment Act. Remember that one?
Yes,
remember the lawsuits by the Department of Justice against the banking houses when they wanted to do mergers? And they said, if you're not serving our underserved communities, then we're not going to allow you to do mergers. Remember? So they came up with this corrupt concept of bundled derivatives. And that started the landslide, Brian.
Your government
did that. It set it in motion.
We used to have four groups. We used to have the rich. We used to have upper middle class, and the poor. We used to have those four class groups. And you realize that we got rid of two of them? We got rid of the class groups. We just have the haves and have-nots now. That's basically it. We got the 1%er. They even call it the 1%er, maybe the 2%. But we got rid of the two groups.
You haven't got rid of the middle
income people. I don't think there is an upper middle class anymore,
sir. No, the middle income people have been suppressed. They are about to make their voices known in November. Now, they've been suppressed, but they haven't been gotten rid of yet. That may be their goal, Brian, but they haven't succeeded.
Okay.
And why isn't gasoline 5 to 10 cents a gallon anymore?
Because it's political.
When you got war and conflict in the Middle East, and you still got the Arabs and the Russians still controlling the vast of the oil industry and Exxon, and they have to make deals with them. By the way, we are the number two people. The United States are the number two people wealthy with oil, by the way. It doesn't make sense, but if you have conflicts in the Middle East and the Russians really control most of the oil and
Brian, that's utter nonsense, Brian. I don't see how you can sit there and say that.
We just proved three short years ago
we had the capability to be utterly energy independent without having to rely on any outside energy whatsoever.
No, we are not. We were a net exporter
of oil as opposed to a net importer of it.
Okay.
That is
did
energy independence, Brian.
Wait a minute. Did you know that the Middle East right now just raised, what is it, $16 a barrel,
Brian,
right now?
They are going, OPEC is going to cut back their oil production 2 million barrels a day.
I know. I hear that.
Going to affect us because our production is cut back.
Gas is going to be $7 a gallon.
It's an arbitrary decision made by a senile, demented old corruptocrat in the White House being told to do it by his coterie of insidious inside advisors. It's artificial, Brian. It isn't what had to be.
My audience just left.
I'm listening to you, and I can't believe you actually saying this with a straight face.
I don't think he believes the idiocy that he's professing.
On foreign oil.
And look, there's what you call a pre-1964 90% silver dime. Hold on, Brian. Right. They've changed the money.
No, in California,
nothing has increased. What has happened is the value of the dollar, our money, has decreased.
That's how much
that
gas
is what
is
has
right
changed.
Now. It's almost $6.50 a gallon.
Hold on, Brian. It's going to go up. The dollar has diminished in value because they changed the standard.
If you look at the pre-1964 money, it will still buy the same thing it did then.
Actually, it will buy more. If you look at the cost of a 90% dime today, it will still buy a gallon of gas.
What is the strongest currency right now, and the dollar is number
one. Not looking at a real standard, Brian.
The dollar
Brian.
Is
I don't,
number one. The dollar
Brian,
has never been
you've
stronger.
You've
got to
be playing a game. You
the
can't
dollar
be this
has
foolish
never been
in
stronger.
Reality.
Look it up. I'm not going on your word.
Brian,
I'm telling the people to
Brian,
look it up.
The dollar is the world's reserve currency only
it has
because
never been stronger.
Of our status with regard to energy. When that goes, it will no longer be.
Well, it's not going to go. It is the strongest right now. The dollar is the strongest it's been since, my God, World War II.
The world buys oil with petrol dollars.
Do you know our military is second to none? So just hold on. Do you know our military has been the strongest is second to none right now in the whole world? Second to none. We are the strongest military force in the world. Our dollar is the strongest currency in the world since Biden's been in office. You don't have to believe me. Google it. Done.
If you know anything that's worthwhile, and I'm going to say this factually, I already knew it 10 years ago. So I know what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm saying. That's the problem.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in the 60s, just as Sarge was saying, the average person with an average occupation could own a home. That's not true anymore. And you don't have a clue as to why. You don't even know what inflation is.
I just told you why. But you
don't listen to nobody
else because you want to listen to your own voice.
No. What I'm saying is factual. I'm not superficial like you.
You're so in love with your own reasoning that's the only one you want to listen to.
You are nothing more than fingernail polish.
Okay.
What?
Cheap fingernail polish
right
is
now,
that.
Right now, OPEC is forming an alliance of the Russians, the Saudis, all these other oil-producing countries are beginning to form an alliance that is going
to
diminish the United States. The United States position as the leader in producing the energy in the world and providing and brokering.
And Sarge,
that's
when
that happens, our dollar will no longer be the strongest currency in the world. Joe Biden is adopting policy that is going
to
deliberately cause that to happen.
Right. And you know who has to sit at the table in OPEC? The Russians. Putin.
Do you agree with me or disagree with me on that?
I agree with you 100%. That's what I just said.
Joe Biden is adopting a policy that will make that inevitable.
Right. And I don't blame those other countries because they don't want to be controlled by a country that is not doing things according to their best interests. And like you said, Sarge, it's the petrodollar that gives the U.S. hegemony in the world market. Once that is removed, and I understand right now that Russia is accepting rubles. Am I correct? Rubles are the currency, yes.
Yes, that's
the
only way they're taking
rubles
payment
for
their
oil.
And
China is collaborating
oil.
With them. So once that happens, the United States is going to be in a world of trouble because we've exported all of our talent. All the manufacturing is done elsewhere. So all we have, now it was a brilliant ploy, all we have is a bunch of dollars that are virtually worthless.
Stop it.
Exactly. Well, if we ever lose our status as the world's reserve currency, our economy is headed straight to the toilet. You're going to see a recession. You're going to see a depression.
Two-thirds of Americans right now are financially fragile. Two-thirds. And those are people in the six-figure income category.
And you know what's
and
really
many
bad
of our businesses
all,
are expected to go
easily
under.
Easily remedied if the energy policy was changed. It would be easy.
Right, and like you said earlier, Sarge, we were energy independent just a couple of years ago. We were a net exporter.
And we've got reserves at present rates of consumption, according to every S and more being found all the time, at present rates of consumption for the next 500, maybe 1,000 years. This is just unnecessary, Brian.
Remember that oil well in the Gulf about 10 years ago that went rogue and they had to plug it up, which means I think it was a British Petroleum oil well. And that shows right there that we have, or that's one indicator that we have plenty of energy. They had to plug that oil well up.
Man, they're discovering new reserves all the time. Like I said, if you look at the map of known oil reserves just under the control of the United States, just that.
All right.
For our own country, we've got more than enough.
I'm glad you.
This renewable push is an answer to a question that is not being asked, a solution that is not necessary against what is presently available. It is something to give people control and money and power. That's it.
And, you know, Brian is the perfect financial dummy. I mean, I really like – he is like a sucker
to lick. It shows your lack of intellectual verb.
Brian is a financial sucker waiting to be
lit. Childish names. When you resort to childish names, makes you a child.
Oh, that's accurate, Brian.
When you resort to child play, child language, because you don't have any other language.
Don't understand finance.
It's hard to take you seriously when you speak as a child.
I don't care if you don't take me seriously because
you have
to
care because my name is on the show and I allow you to speak. I give you life.
You don't even
I
have
give
to
you
show
life.
Up. Get someone
I
else
give
in
you
here.
Life.
You're derelict in your duty.
What did you say? Wait a minute. I cannot hear you. Say that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just took your life away. I took your air away, your little ounce of air to breathe on this show. Now, you're going to show respect, and you're going to show respect to the host, or you're going to go. You know how it works, Solution. You've been around for 11 years. You exactly know how this works. I will not let you go rogue. I will not let you disrespect me. I will not let you disrespect the show. I will not let you talk over guests. You're going to behave yourself. I give you life, and I take it away. Now I'm going to give you life again and behave yourself.
You're being an idiot, Brian.
What a moron.
All hell, the imperious leader.
Yeah, well, no, not yet. Are you kidding me? On this show, really? If you go on any other Blog Talk shows, they won't even let you have this conversation.
No, Brian, I'm not complaining about you allowing us to talk. I'm simply asking you to look at what's at stake.
Solution is back, by the way. But I have to have some kind of order. Sarge, we could talk. We could have fun with each other. We poke fun at each other. That's one of the things about the show. But sometimes it cannot get out of hand because you got to understand it's not just us three. I got other people listening on the show. I got a guy who was just on the show today, had an interview today. And when they keep hearing that the host is a moron, he's an idiot, or constantly, it's kind of messing with my brand, you know what I mean? Because my brand is Brian the Hammer Jackson. And we have one of the best shows around because we're able to speak with each other. I would not go to your house and disrespect you, but I will go to your house and have fun with you. Am I correct? There's a line there. There's a line
of
disrespect.
Look, I don't have any beefs about it, actually. So, look,
yeah.
I'm not beefing about because I know I get my points out in time, and I'm satisfied with the way you allow us to make them. That includes Mr. Solutions and me. I think we have pretty much free reign on the show, and I certainly am not complaining. But look.
Sure. You know, Sarge, when I started the show, I said, this is not even my show. This is you guys' show. I sit and listen to you guys. I get entertained by listening to your views. I try not to mute anybody. I try not to do this because I'm saying we all have fun here. But you guys know the line. You just don't disrespect each other. That's why it's still a fun thing. I don't want to be, like you said, all hail the Sultan of Leader or, No, I don't want that. I never wanted that for this show. But there has
to be. Well, Brian, you're being rather arbitrary. I'm going to let you go with that. But what
you're
saying is
You're going to
not
let me
accurate.
Go with that? No.
I'm going to let you go
with
that.
You see how you
that,
talk,
Solution? But you're just being arbitrary.
You see what I have to deal with, Sarge? You see what I have to deal with? You see what I have to deal with? You see this? I have to have the patience of Job.
You got to understand, Mr. Solution is a very strong personality, very assertive in his views. So, that sort of thing goes along with people who have strong, pronounced beliefs that are backed up by, and you got to admit, a great deal of education and insight.
That's a lot of bullshit.
Now, come on, now, you've got to admit that.
No, I will not admit it. I will not admit it.
I've rarely heard anyone on the Internet who has a better grasp of subject matter than he does when he speaks about it.
No, he doesn't. But I can understand. I understand.
No, he does. I mean, it is really uncanny the way he can literally hone in on a subject, and he can do it in a manner that is factually and epistemologically correct. I think it's fantastic. And now, what comes along with that is an assertive, strong personality that probably helps him come to those viewpoints. It's like nuclear energy. You get the benefits of it, and there's also a lot of dangers and side effects too.
But Sarge, now let me just say I appreciate that, and I feel the same way about you. But let me just say I go on a lot of shows, and I don't behave this way because the hosts don't behave like Brian.
Mm. Okay.
Look, Brian is evasive sometimes, and I think that's the word you're looking for. Brian is evasive
Complete
sometimes.
Denial. You're absolutely right.
You know
he is, and he doesn't acknowledge that.
You know why I think he's being evasive?
I think Brian is beginning to realize he's being shaken out of many of his comfortable pre-assumptions. And I think to some extent you and I are doing that to him. And he's in another region, or he's in another where he's coming to a new understanding, and he's a little bit confused.
Oh, come on.
And let me just say, I appreciate you saying that, but he'll go down a bitch path in a moment.
Oh, really?
And I hope he gets pissed off.
I'm not getting pissed. I have nothing to get pissed off about. I really have nothing I don't. The reason you know why I don't get, you've been around for a while, Mr. Solution. You've been around for 10, 11 years. You know how this works.
I antedate you.
You what? I'm going to have to look that up. No, you're not dating me. I'm a heterosexual man, you gay person out of the closet.
See there? There he goes.
That's right. You're trying to interdate me. Okay, listen, I got 37 minutes to do the subject that I really want to talk about. So we're talking about everybody dreams about the perfect relationship, the perfect life, and we look through our little colored glasses. What do you call it? Rose-colored glasses, and you wish you could be them, the house on a hill, everything's perfect. But when you hear Tom Brady, Howard Stern said it best, no matter how beautiful your woman is, you can have the most beautiful woman in the world, you still want to fool around. You still want to cheat. You want something else. You're not even happy with a supermodel. Huh? In this case, Brady did not cheat, but I think it's even worse than that. People are thinking, now, Tom Brady and Giselle, they've been married for a while. Now, the divorce lawyers are coming in now. They're going to actually take a divorce. The rumor has it that when Tom Brady plays football, Giselle barely sees him. Tom Brady mentioned his retirement this year and then went back on it, and now he's playing. She left the house. Now she's seeking a divorce lawyer. And here's the headlines here. And, Mr. Solution, I want you involved in this. There's another story I want you involved in it, too, because I want to hear your opinion. So don't be such an asshole, because sometimes you do have good opinions.
Okay, let me just say this right now. Brian,
here we go.
I am not taking any more of your chastisement. All that
yes,
stuff
you
come up with is pure bullshit.
You take it off when I give it to you, I will serve it up and you will gladly.
All that self-righteousness is pure bullshit. Go
you
on,
behave
but
yourself.
See, there you go.
You behave yourself. Behave yourself. Now listen to me.
Me too is
Sarge, kick his ass, Sarge. I got Sarge to kick your ass. Now, Tom Brady. Now, I'm giving him his red meat. If he listens to me, I'm giving him his red meat, Sarge. He's just not going to be patient enough. Because this has to do with when Mr. Solution talks, he talks about women and he talks about men and he talks about financial stuff. So I'm giving him his red meat here. Headline here in Newsweek, Tom Brady could lose $200 million to wife Giselle Bundchen in divorce. Now, why in the hell could he lose $200 million when she's worth $400 million and he's only worth $250 million? And he still has to pay for the divorce. Tom Brady could lose
Well, you said Tom Brady could lose
hundreds of millions of dollars in a divorce from his wife. An expert said this. I don't understand it. I'll try to play it. No, that's about the Royals. I'm so sick of the Royals. Who gives a fuck? Rumors have swirled that the Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback, he enlisted a divorce attorney, reported that model Bundchen has already done so too, and a couple could face difficulties with their 13-year marriage. Now, you're thinking this is a perfect marriage. This is perfect. There's nothing, I'm just trying to tell you people, there's nothing perfect. You just don't know other people's bullshit. That's all. The NFL star, he missed some of his preseason training as he worked through personal issues. Tom Brady got personal issues? I mean, the guy's royalty. That's basically it. He's royalty.
All right, let's keep it in perspective now, Brian. I mean, look, the guy might have lost game against the last game he played in against Kansas City Chiefs, but he threw for three touchdowns and 350 yards.
Wow.
It's just the Kansas City Chiefs were just so hot. He had a great game, and he still lost.
I know, right?
So that's not, you know, I mean, how many teams lose when they score 31 points and a quarterback throws three touchdown passes and gets 350 yards? Okay,
hey,
yeah, they were against Kansas City Chiefs, and Mahomes was red fucking hot that day.
That's my dude, man.
There you go. He was just red. He was unstoppable, like a force of nature that night. So that's just all it was. Wasn't like Tom Brady played badly. He almost never played badly.
Right. Well,
yeah, I mean, that was a top-notch performance by anyone on any normal day.
Right.
But, yeah,
I
have no doubt that all of this stuff that's going on with him undoubtedly is to some degree affecting his play. Hell, he might have been as hot as Mahomes if he had to have this kind of troubles going on with his wife.
Exactly. But you think – I mean, most people, there's two reasons why people have conflict in their marriage. And I'm not married, sorry. So I don't think much solution ever been married. So you're the go-to. But I'm assuming conflicts would be, number one, would be financial. Number two, somebody cheating. Those
Brian, you are a liar, and you should mute your damn self.
I'm a liar. What am I lying about now?
Everything
I've
you're
never
saying
been
virtually.
Give me 5 minutes with you just to choke you out. I just want to just kick your ass.
Well,
I just
this is
want
where
a camera there for a reality show
of,
that I get a helmet and I just bash your head in.
Because, Sarge, oftentimes I don't think that you or most men understand the destructive power of women. Actually, that's the reason we are where we are right now, if you go back to the book of Genesis. But what has happened, we as a social order have given women too much destructive power. They had enough just based on their emotional influence. Now we've given them legal power to be destructive and reproductive power to be destructive. So, you know, I'm not saying that Tom Brady is perfect. I don't know him, or without flaw, I should say. But the fact of the matter is many women in today's feminism, Me Tooism, materialism, and lesbianism, they cannot be pleased. And they don't pay a consequence for being assholes. So I'm just saying they're given too much power to destroy. And men are going
well,
to come
court,
to that particular conclusion
well,
at some juncture, hopefully before the ship sinks.
Okay. I'll give you that a little bit because we have to overcompensate for the women been treating so badly and treated like second-class citizens and when they became a political force. Can you listen to what
men
I'm saying? And they became a political force.
The brunt of reality. That's bullshit.
They became
what
a political force. We had to pay more attention to them and their outcries and be more sympathetic towards their needs.
Well, that's only in the Western culture. Most cultures don't do this.
Well,
that's
we live
the
in a Western
socially,
culture. Well,
we're
what do
not
you want
in
us
the
adopt?
Same weakened
we,
condition
well, what culture
that
do you
we
want
are.
Us adopt?
We've been over back
culture we
try
have.
To hear and please women. Women, given their childish nature, cannot be pleased, most of them. They can't be pleased. You know that. I know that if you have any sense.
Well, no. See, this is why you don't know women. Let me tell you about women. Women tend to pick men. Now, present company accepted, Sarge, because I think you're a great guy. This does not apply to you. I think you are the exception to the rule.
Well,
I really believe
this. Stop with the bullshit, Brian.
I'm not
stopping
with the bullshit.
Ass.
I'm saying it what it is. I'm saying that listening to Sarge, I think he's an exception to the rule. Most women will pick men how they can train, how they can bring up, and how they can train you. Meaning
now,
that
what the fuck
most,
does that mean? And they don't know how reality works.
See, this is why
make,
I know that you're single.
Sense.
Listen to me.
Make that
what
make
women
sense.
Women like to do. It does make sense if you shut the fuck up. What women like to do is men like to trade up. Women like to trade down because they need somebody who they can fix,
somebody who they could train to be a better person, to be a better
husband. I think that's true. I think that's for neurotic women. I don't think that's true.
Really? No, I guarantee you that's true. No, you don't think so, Serge?
I don't think women like to trade down unless they are highly established in whatever profession, career,
yes,
or situation they find themselves in. I don't think that's true. Most women are looking to trade up.
I don't know, because I think women want to be treated, put on as a pedestal, as a queen. We do this when we make love. Men don't make love for pleasure. Men make love to pleasure the woman. You could be making love to a woman for a while, but if she doesn't reach orgasm, you have failed as a man. Men make love to women to please them. The woman gives them the okay if they were good or not, and they wait for that response, because every time a man will ask them,
did you? There's some truth to that. Not completely, but there is some truth to that. Okay.
One of the problems is we're sitting here trying to figure women out, when if women were reasonable people, we would know what they want. The problem is most women don't know what they want. And the reason they don't know what they want is because they're coddled. This society creates monsters out of the female.
Well,
gender.
Recently, I agree with you, Solution. I agree with you recently. I agree with you. I do agree with you. Even when I agree with you, there's controversy. Even when I agree with you, you come out with saying, well, it doesn't matter if you agree with me or not. See,
It's good that you see the light occasionally, but it doesn't matter if you agree.
What is that?
Brian, I did a guest show. I was asked to do a show on Blog Talk, and I did a guest show. And this was the thesis or the premise of my show. The premise of my show was that when women's reproductive imperatives predominate in a society, civilizational collapse inevitably follows. And I believe that absolutely. I think what we are seeing is women's reproductive imperatives predominating in our society, and even though the collapse of our civilization has not started yet, you can see it in the horizon if it continues and accelerates.
Why do you think that
is essentially true, and almost any place it's actually come to any sort of fruition?
Wait a minute, Sarge, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, when any paradigm of women is pushed, society is going to come to the brink of its destruction, if not totally to its destruction, because women generally operating as women, see, we have to hold them to the same standard that we do men. That's the only way they're going to grow up, and see, as currently, we don't do that. And that's why we have such a problem. But I concur with what you're saying, but I would just add to it, any premise that women push as coddled creatures is going to lead to the destruction of society.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I also believe that is why it's not because men oppress women, even though men do oppress women. Don't get me wrong. It is not because men oppress women and because they're more brutal. That is not the reason why almost 99.9% of the societies you look at on the globe, patriarchy has predominated as the natural form of that culture and that society. And there is a reason for it, because it is most consonant, absent its excesses, which happen in every human endeavor. Patriarchy is the most consistent with human nature and with the natures of men and women. That's why it is predominated throughout the eons.
Absolutely.
What we're looking at now is an unnatural change to something that heretofore has not existed, for very good reasons, because of the reproductive imperatives of men and women.
Okay, I got a couple of stories that you guys are going to like. Okay, I hear that, and that's good. But I'm just saying that this man is worth – now, I'm reading the article. We're going back to Tom Brady. I'm reading the article that says that he's worth $4 million. He's not worth $4 million. She's worth $4 million. He's worth $250 million. But it says here, basically, you know, she wants him to quit football, and he wanted to play one more season. And they go into the divorce experts, and, you know, shut up. I'm not going to read any divorce expert. If you don't know Tom Brady and Giselle, then you're not an expert on them. And they're, you know, just to hear themselves talk and everything. But I think Tom did have a prenuptial agreement with Giselle to protect their assets. They do have, they share two children, a son, Benjamin, 12, and daughter, 9. Brady has another son, 15-year-old John, with ex Bridget Monahan. And if you don't know who Bridget Monahan is, all you have to do is watch Blue Bloods. If you ever seen Blue Bloods, Bridget Monahan is the daughter, she's the lawyer. She's the, what is she, plays the district attorney,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, she was in Some of All Fears with Ben Affleck a few years ago.
Right, right, and she's a beautiful lady. And they tried to make a big thing out of it. See, Tom, they have a 15-year-old, it was a 15-year-old son named John. So they tried, the news tried to make a big thing. Tom Brady always tries to be a good father. So he always includes, and Bridget Monahan was never married to Tom Brady. But Brady, been a good father, always includes the kid into a lot of things. So he went to visit his son, John, and the press going, ooh, what's he doing at Mon? Don't you hate these little gay bitches and everything? I cannot watch this Hollywood Access bullshit, and these little gay people are always gossiping. Oh, what's he doing over there? And now he's talking to Bridget Monahan. He's like, shut up, fool.
Right.
He went to see his son. Is it just me, but when I hear these little gossip bitches and their men, it drives me up the fucking wall, man. Shut up and act like
Brian,
a man.
Brian.
Brian. What? I got two more stories that you're going
to
like, but you're not going
to
hear
the way
them.
To do this, to keep the bloodsuckers out of there, and lawyers can be good, but oftentimes they're not. To keep
right.
the bloodsuckers out of there, both of them should just walk away with what's theirs, and they should have, what's the term, Sarge? They should have equal parenting rights. Okay?
They're going to make it. Of course they are.
If she wants to walk away, because she's probably,
right.
It sounds like she's the biggest problem. And I don't know why we use these unrealistic people since we've gone down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. To be fair with her, I have never played at the level of Tom Brady, by the way. I have never played at that level, but I played at a certain level, college level, UCLA level. Let me just tell you something. When I played ball, anybody who played ball, you don't have to be organized sports. You can just, and then scrap dirt. Anybody who, I mean, scrap dirt. When I played ball, I could not have my girlfriend, my then girlfriend, touch me. Monday through Thursday, I was at practice, and I got hurt. I got banged up so much that if she even just touched my elbow the wrong way, I'm in severe pain. She could not even hug me because my position was a running back. She could not even hug me Monday through to Wednesday. I started to heal around Thursday.
She doesn't understand what he is experiencing.
I'm saying that I can understand her saying that I would like to have a normal relationship with you, but I know what football can do to you. He's 40-something years old, and this guy got banged up last weekend. If you saw the game, his shoulder got banged up. It doesn't heal as fast as at 40-something, at 20-something. So even at 20-something when I was playing, it took me a while to heal. To do normal things, to throw a ball with my son. I never had kids. But you get the picture of what I'm saying. So I'm saying that I could understand her saying, you said you were going to retire. You announced it to the world you're going to retire. And then we're planning our lives together now that you retired. You got everything. How many rings do you need, dude? You got 5 rings, Super Bowl rings. You're MVP. What else do you need? You have conquered the sport. You are a GOAT, the greatest of all time.
And what was his response?
He wanted to play. It's in his blood. He wanted to play one more time this year. He came back. He came back from retirement. Mm-hmm. She says, I had enough. I can't live like this anymore.
She has a point, too. I'm not going to say
exactly.
In this case she doesn't have a point. But oftentimes,
right.
People who operate at that level of performance and, it's all entertainment. Well, you know, she got with him when he was doing that, but he
right.
may not be able to stop. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali. Ali should have stopped
I agree
well,
with
before
you, Mr.
the
Solution.
Foreman fight, certainly afterwards,
no, but
and he couldn't stop. And,
champions,
you know, there's a certain amount of brain damage experienced in football. So, I
right.
mean, who knows?
And not to, and,
you
and,
may
and,
have
Lucy,
a point, but what I'm saying
you brought
is,
up a good
this,
point because you could get hit in the head in football and you can lose a lot of memories and you can lose a lot of consciousness. And it's a lot. It's a blood sport. But you brought Warriors.
Many of them have concussions. Football is only second
sure.
to boxing.
Exactly.
It's only second to boxing.
I know. So she had enough.
In the major sports.
And every champion always had that one more. Every champion,
right,
no matter
right,
how many
right.
surgeries, no matter how many this, every champion, if you're a true champion, the top, the GOAT of your sport, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is considered handicapped. A man can't even walk down the street, let alone swing a golf club. What's he doing out there? You know what I mean?
Well, now, is that due to the stupid accident that he had? Or
well,
is that due
it's,
to something
no, it's
else?
A lot of surgeries he had on his neck. He had a lot of surgeries on his back, and then he got that accident. I mean, basically, and then his knee. I don't even think he has a real knee anymore. I think they're artificial knee. It says that for Tiger Woods to even walk the course, he had
mm-hmm.
to spend 6 hours, I think, 6 hours getting ready to just walk the course, and he's in the whirlpool, and he's icing it down. He's getting massage. He has to do all this ritual that about 4 or 5 hours before he could, so he could even walk the golf course.
Two quick observations. We make the people like that into freaks, and
yes,
not
we
saying
do.
That they don't have a freakish personality that drives them to be freaks.
Well, that's why they're the greatest of all times. You have to have that personality to be the greatest of all times. If you're just an average guy, you're not going to reach that height. You're not going to reach that height of an individual that is God.
And,
nobody
and then,
has
you
surpassed.
Know what I think might be lingering with Tom Brady? What
right.
was he? What round was he picked in when he came up? Nobody really
Ooh.
Wanted the guy.
Ooh.
How long did he
was
sit
it,
on the bench for
what,
as an understudy?
Oh, my
so
God.
So you're saying
that
may have inferiority.
Nobody thought he was Great Jakes when he first came up.
So you're saying he may have an inferiority complex to go with it all?
Yeah, he might be trying to overcompensate because he felt he was a complete, and he was definitely underappreciated when he first came to the league. Didn't nobody look at Tom and say, oh, this guy's not going to be turning out to be anything much. How long did he understudy for what's-his-name when he was on the Patriots? Sitting on the bench
well, he
year
was,
after year
you're
after gonna, year.
Sarge, you're not going to believe this. He was picked 199th picked
yeah,
in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
Really
high. Ridiculous.
Well, you know they have a lot of, as I said, they have a lot of micro concussions, and
right.
you may be dealing with some brain injury.
Right. You
got to add all these factors up, and, yeah, that goes a long way to explain it all. I think he might be
yeah.
trying to
beyond
overcompensate
that,
to some extent.
Wait a minute. I mean, beyond
the
type that Brian
had. Interest. Yeah, so, you know.
See, you know what?
All in
let me tell you something. I don't think I was – yeah, I think I had maybe 2 concussions. I really do. Back in the day, but they didn't sit you out and everything. It was one of those things, okay, put dirt on it. Get back in. I remember
hang
I had
up,
a
Brian.
Huh?
Oh, I know. I had a concussion, man. I couldn't believe. I had a concussion.
Yeah.
I was boxing in the arm. And the last fight
oh, yeah.
I had and I got out of when I was on the First Army boxing team was the one that I decided to quit. And when I found myself going out, doing okay for the first round, second round,
right.
I did even better. Third round,
right.
I got hit. Next thing I know, I was waking up in the locker room with one tooth missing. And that's it. After this, no more. I don't remember anything. It didn't even hurt. Because I didn't feel a thing. They took me back to the locker room, and I said, that's it. I'm through with this sport. I love it, but I'm through with it.
Well, I did one round. I remember I got in the ring with this guy. He was supposed to be good.
Right.
And I knocked down. I actually
uh-huh.
canvassed him. And then I exited the ring once he got up. because I didn't want to get hit.
Get the hell out of there.
And I had a pretty good record. I was 9-2-1, and that was it, the one I lost, and that's the one
yeah.
I tried to quit. I had 9-2 record.
Much.
I even got
too
a couple people looking and say, hey, do you think maybe you might want to go pro or something? And I said,
yeah.
Nah, not really. I just kind of like doing this. But that
but Ryan, don't you think that's smart? Because if you hit a guy and knock him down, I think there's a certain amount of immunity.
Seeing that upper, that overhand right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was a straight right that floored him.
Yeah.
But
if
he gets up, which he did.
If you've never had a concussion, it is not something that we used to call you getting your bell rung. It is not something that is enjoyable. It is not.
You're breaking up there, Brian. You're really breaking up badly. I can't hear anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I still breaking up, guys? Am I still breaking up?
Not now. Yeah,
it's
not
a little
now.
Bit
you're
better
okay.
Now, but try it.
Yeah, that means people are trying to come into. Yeah, there's two or three more people just came into the studio. Blog Talk does this when people start joining the show late. Can you guys hear me now?
It's a signal. Okay, I got it.
Hey,
yeah.
You're
Am
good
okay?
Now. It's clear.
Okay. I got one more story, guys. I wanted to tell this story. There's a big thing going on, and I think it's phony and it's bullshit. I don't know which one you guys want to hear. Do you want to hear about Eric Weinberg of Scrubs? He's a producer that's doing these weird sex things to accused of doing these weird, violent sex acts to these actresses? Or do you want to hear the story? Because we only got one story. You want to hear the story about, what's her name, Wu, Asian-American. Remember the ones, Rich Asian? She was starring in that movie, Rich Asians or something?
Flip a coin and go with it.
She wanted to commit suicide, and she was standing on a bridge, and she was going to jump from her apartment. So which one? Which story you want to hear?
Flip an imaginary coin and go with it, Brian.
Okay, I'm thinking her name is Constance Wu. We'll do the director tomorrow.
Okay.
It's the same kind of story. I'm thinking it's bullshit. I call bullshit. She's the one. She's an actress who did Off the Boat. Remember that comedy, Off the Boat? Used to be on Channel 4 about the Asian people off the boat. It was a comedy on Channel 4. She also did Rich
you see
Asian.
It. Go on.
Okay. You'll know who she is. Well, anyway,
Crazy Rich
she just
Asian.
Came.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, her name is Constance Wu. Here's the story. Here's the headline. Constance Wu didn't want to share harassment story. Nobody's going to believe me. I'm calling bullshit on this. Is this the one? Maybe you can hear it. Wait a minute. Okay, well, here she is on, I hate this guy, but not the Fallons, but late night with
Badly.
SNL.
We started the story, it all broke up.
Oh, really? Hold on.
Yeah, I didn't hear a thing about the story. It completely
now,
broke up as far as on my end. Now you're clear.
Can you hear it? Is it clear?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's clear as a bell.
Yeah, these people are coming in. Okay, just listen to the interview with Seth Meyers.
Everywhere this Friday. Please welcome back to the show, Constance Wu, everybody.
I'm the only bullshit.
You know, I didn't know Fred was here, and I have to just tell Fred.
Please.
When I first booked my first network sitcom, Fresh Off the Boat, I had no experience with comedy, so I said I gotta study somebody, and you are who I studied to learn how to be funny. How'd I do?
Wow.
I did.
So nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, knowing Fred, he's gonna ask for a commission. Now that you've said that.
$400 a month in installments.
Ooh. It paid off.
Learn from the best.
This is a book of personal essays.
Yep.
Which must have been, I would imagine, challenging, cathartic to write. You talk about how acting came to you very young.
Mm-hmm.
You share a photo. You were the mole in Wind in the Willows?
Yes, my first leading role.
This is your first leading role. Look at you, a very convincing mole.
The Jeremy Strong of moles.
Yes. You live like a mole for a while.
You look at that picture, I mean it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seriously a mole.
Yeah. And it seemed like that your drama teacher saw some real talent in you. But also, was supportive of you. You talked about the fact that you were accused of plagiarism in school.
Yes, during eighth grade, which I think is such a pivotal year for kids. You know, I had my Western civilization teacher accuse me of plagiarism, and she had no proof. So she made me go up to all of my other teachers, and she said, "Do you think Constance is good enough to have written this?" And every teacher said no.
Oh, my God.
Again, I think she's a nutcase, and I think this is a woman claiming victim. I really believe this, to get attention. And here's some of the stuff. I'm not going to – now, she's even going back to her eighth grade teacher saying plagiarism and everything. It's already a warning sign in my head. Here's the headline. Constance Wu has made headlines in recent weeks for accusing an unnamed Fresh Off the Boat producer of sexually harassing her on the set of the sitcom in her new memoirs. But the actor wasn't initially inclined to share her traumatic experiences. Oh, no. No, she wasn't going to. Initially, she wasn't going to do it. Oh, no, no, no. She said, "To be honest, I didn't want to write about it," she told the late night host Seth Meyers on Monday. "It was an essay I wrote for the book, and only after being pushed by my editor." Oh, yeah, my editor pushed me. Oh, my God. Okay, I'll say it. I'll say it. This is sure signs of victim 1A, victim B. Oh, I didn't want to say it, so I'm so ashamed. Okay, somebody pushed me to say it. Now I'm going to become a hero. C, you become a hero to all fans. I'm thinking it's bullshit. All of a sudden, and I tell everybody, if you've listened to the show, because I was in the field. If all of a sudden you haven't heard of an actor or an actress and all of a sudden you hear something like, it's usually a sexual thing or they've been accused of something, just out of the blue, look around because chances are they have a book coming out or a movie coming out because this is what publicists do. I know it's sick. But again, it's so funny that she's coming out by saying she was sexually harassed and all this other mental bullshit that she has a book coming out. It's kind of a coinky-dinky. This is what they do in Hollywood. It's bullshit. So you want to believe that this woman's a victim, but all she really wants to do is sell books. I hate to be cynical, but this is textbook. This is what people want to hear. She says, for a book, and only after being pushed by my editor, like, you should write about this. This is what people want to hear. And I'm like, I'm done with that chapter in my life because all the sexual harassment, the inappropriate touching, but you know what she's mentioning. All the sexual harassment and the inappropriate touching, the telling me to wear short skirts and the intimidation that all happened in the first 2 years of the show when I was still very scared. I'm not going to say it. Oh, you just said it. You just said it. You just said it, you bitch. You cynical, you little. Oh, yeah. In her book, Making a Scene, Wu alleges that the producer touched her inappropriately and controlled her, demanding that she run all her business matters past him and telling her what to wear, according to the New York Times. She said while promoting her memoir last month at the Atlantic Festival that she felt betrayed by the few people who knew about the producer's alleged behavior but continued to be friendly with him behind the scenes. Okay, I feel so betrayed. He's a producer of the show. I work for the show. I mean, I'm getting paid millions of dollars to be on this show. And you know what? You knew about my sexual abuse. And you didn't do anything about it, but yet you still be friends with him. And you're a producer, and you could have fired these people, and they couldn't, and forget about their families, forget about their houses and their mortgages and the bills they have to pay. You should come to my aid because I'm too innocent and I'm too victimized to do something myself, so I'm going to blame you guys for not doing anything. And I'm going to blame you for still being friends with them, you little bitch. But yet I'm on Seth, whatever his name is, late night show, promoting my book that I'm so ashamed of. And you can get it on Amazon. I told
hey,
you
Brian,
guys.
Hey, Brian, Sarge said this, and I agreed. I had said it before. The only rights that women have are those that men important to them. So if women are out of control and they do all this destructive shit, it's because men have given them the green light to do it.
I agree. You know, when you start talking like a person and quit calling me names, we have a lot to agree
upon. Stop being a jerk.
You quit being a moron. You bastard, you dirty bastard. Let's go on.
I've been on a lot of shows. You are the one that promotes that kind of thing. You love this show. You love when I'm gone.
You miss me. Stop and behave yourself.
Well,
stop it.
A little bit.
You
but
miss
the point
me.
Of
well,
it
I don't
is,
know where
I
they
were.
I think you're hiding from us a little while back.
Hold on,
man.
Sorry. I said it with sorry ass, Brian. I was the only one who promoted that you stop smoking. No one else had the gut.
You're right.
You had everyone else kind of intimidated.
You, hear this?
You don't intimidate me at all.
Can you hear the difference in my voice? I stopped smoking about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. Can you hear the difference? No, seriously.
And like I said, I had to kick your ass to do that. I don't mind a little bit of jousting, but look here. When I say to you, and I'm thinking about this
I
now.
I just asked the question.
When
I
say
I
to you, in pre-1964 money, gasoline, guess this, is an overwhelming 20 cents a gallon. And see, you didn't process that. You refused to process what I was saying.
What do you want
you
me to process? I mean, back then you get the 25 cents and you had the five and dime store. But I mean, what do you want me to
but
process?
But listen,
and
I knew
not
an
only
engineer.
That, you got
I knew
American
an engineer, right?
Doing.
That was a he was a mechanical engineer. And he owned a bunch of what do you call these machines? Dispensing machines. In other words, where you buy sodas and this sort of thing. And he saw this happening, and he started to say, now they sell that money. They sell money, Brian.
I know.
Brian, you just look. You can be smart. But you need to listen more because this is a serious issue. This is a
okay,
serious
listen,
issue.
Okay, listen, wait a minute. Now you need to listen to this. We got 30 seconds. I want to thank – listen, we'll go on. I want to thank Mr. Solution for coming in, pushing the show forward. And I want to thank Sarge, one of my favorites, pushing the show forward. Thank you for coming in. And if you ever want to come in to Brian Hammer Jackson show, you know how to come in. All you have to do is give us a call. Now, we're going to – the number is 319-527-6099. Now, real time, meaning the time left on the show, we got 60 seconds. You can still come in the studio if you want to hear us. But after 60 seconds, you're going into podcast. Now, when they play podcast, I have to explain to you, you'll hear the full show. So even after we go off the air live, you'll still hear us talk. Now, not only that, we're still streaming on three other platforms as we're speaking. Damn it, help me out here. Fuck. But we have Apple Radio. We're still streaming. We're going live. And there's a couple other things that people are still hearing us. So not it's just Blog Talk. We'll cut us off. But the other streaming channels have us live. So we're still live. Yes, Mr. Solution. I agree with you. So, again, I want to thank Mr. Solution for coming in. I want to thank Sarge for coming in while we're still live on Blog Talk. And don't forget tomorrow, we got my psychic coming on tomorrow. So she's a great psychic. So if you want to come in tomorrow and get your future read or a tarot card reading, and I suggest Sarge and Mr. Solution do, please come in and she'll read you. She's my psychic.
Well, you know I won't
Overland.
Be here for that.
Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will.
No, I won't. But look here, this is what I was trying to convey to you. Have you finished?
That was really an important point you made, though, about women having the rights that men extend to them, because look at what happens when the rule of law breaks down and civilization breaks down. Women are really oppressed, and men always arise by dint of their willingness to be brutal to the top of the heap.
Right. And is Brian still there? Brian, are you still there?
I'm here.
Well, why don't you let – okay. Well, what I was saying is I was making a very poignant point to Brian because Brian doesn't understand the switcheroo. You know the old shell game, right, Sarge? Brian fell for that hook, line, and sinker with respect to economics. Warren Buffett is quoted as having said, and I think he was repeating Einstein, when Einstein said, only one man in a million understands inflation. Okay? I have studied money for many, many years. I've studied it. And thus, I see the trick that's being played. Now, they say Saddam Hussein was not attacked until he attempted to stop using dollars to purchase oil. But then he was a small entity. And, you know, the United States does a lot of shit, a lot of dirty shit. And I'm sorry to say that. I wish they had cleaner hands. But they do abuse a lot of countries. They abuse their power. Now, they can't do that to Russia and China and the large nations. And I think it's a good thing that they're kind of kicking the U.S. in the ass and putting them in their place. Because to dominate countries by use of the money, and they do that, and Russia is saying no more. We'll sell oil for rubles. We don't need dollars. We don't need the petrodollar. And I think that Saudi Arabia, from what I understand, is accepting rubles and other currency other than the dollar. So they're getting away from that too. But it was a brilliant ploy. What they did is to offer Saudi Arabia protection in order to sell all nations oil. They had to have dollars. So that's where the petrodollar arose. And sorry, I forget the year, but that was what year was that they brokered that deal with Saudi Arabia?
With Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, well, it was actually OPEC. It was OPEC in its entirety. It was a brilliant deal because, well, maybe it was earlier than that. But nevertheless, it was a brilliant chess move. There's no doubt about that. But they have abused it. So that meant that, see, oil is the new gold. Everybody needs oil if they're going to operate in any semblance of a modern existence. And so they have to have dollars. But the U.S. has abused that, and that's the reason China is supplying us with everything, yet they're tethered to the dollar. And they're saying they're calling bullshit. They don't want to do that anymore. We're sending you all these goods and services, and you're giving us worthless paper.
Right, and we got to remember one thing about the Russian economy is it's anchored on goods and services, not hedge funds, not investment banking, not any of this in economic schemes that are so common in the United States and much of the West. Russia makes
which the U.S. used to be.
That's why they can do what they do, and they don't need the dollar as much.
Right, and China. Don't forget China now.
China's the same way, and they're starting to realize they can go the way of Russia.
Right, and we need their stuff. Why? I was looking at a documentary the other night.
We used to be like Russia. We used to make things and provide services. We don't do it as much as a
proportion
of our GDP.
I was about to launch into the fact.
That used to be what our entire GDP was based on, and as a proportion, that is no longer the case.
Right, but we sent all of our technology. In fact, Walmart was telling, and I like the way Walmart deals with other producers. They told producers, if you want to sell to us, that's why they're the world's largest retailer. If you want to sell to us, you better set up shop in China or elsewhere where you can get the products produced at a much cheaper cost, and you can sell them. Walmart will go to the dirt for a penny or half a penny. And this is what some of the participants were pointing out that sold to Walmart. They were saying that Walmart will battle for a penny. Now, they mainly do it for themselves, but the consumers benefit, you know, marginally somewhat.
Yeah. Well, but you know what's still Brian and Mr. Solution, let me tell you what's amazing. Even though we correctly point out
that the United States is no longer the manufacturing and service providing entity that it once was. That's indisputable. It's still, per capita, is the most productive nation on the planet despite that. And it just goes to show you what this country could be again if we go back in that direction to bring our manufacturing back to the United States, provide the incentives that will allow that to happen. It still is. It's
exactly.
Unbelievable that it is, but we are. We are still the most productive country in the world, despite all this mess they've been doing to our
Now,
country.
What exactly do are you citing as an expression of our productivity?
Look what happened during the COVID crisis. We literally had to go elsewhere to get PPE. Think about that for a minute. To provide basic medicines. We had to go elsewhere to get medicines and PPE during COVID. These are things you
think.
But
what are we very productive in is what I'm
security.
Asking.
That you would think things like this would be, say, okay, there are some things that are basic for national security purposes. And you would think that
right.
would be amongst the things that would be. But you look at so many things now that we require that we are literally reliant on outside countries for to an extent that we, the only thing I can think of the United States used to be pretty much reliant on other countries to have was nickel. Just
right,
like
but Charles, if you can hear me, I'm
America.
Asking you a question based on your statement. You said that we're productive, and I'm just asking you in what?
We're still productive in things like textiles and
wait a minute. Most of the Vietnam and if you look at most of your
metals manufacture still has
well that's
Japan. Automobile
that's Japan and China. We ship our scrap metal to Japan, and then they send
yeah.
us back a vehicle.
And automobile manufacturing is still important in the United States.
Okay, let me tell you what I think it is. I think it's banking and some technology.
Tractor trailers is definitely important in the United States.
I think it's banking and some technology. Now, one of the reasons we're interested in Taiwan so much is their chip production. So we rely on those chips, I think, too much, but that's where we are now. And so Taiwan is the major
Yeah,
the
well,
major
there's no doubt about
producer.
That. Again, that's because of cost. It's not like we don't know how to make the microprocessor because we invented it here. Everything,
well, not just
everything
cars.
Everything
not just cars.
Doing,
those,
was invented here.
Wait. Not just cars, Sarge. Appliances, all of those use those chips.
Everything does. And it was invented
right.
here. Everybody
right,
was just
right.
adapted. We adapt here in the United States. Everybody else adapts what we invent here in the United States.
Right, and you said it earlier, you know, if we would just give incentives to companies to come back here and stop taxing them excessively and all these crazy regulations, you know, environmental regulations, we've done a lot of cleanup. When I watch those old Westerns, I cringe. When I see those trains going down the track and all that black smoke billowing out, you know, we don't see that anymore.
No, of course not. Well, we're
right.
going to see it again because right now the Europeans are going to have to burn biomass to keep from freezing this winter. And biomass is
Well,
warm.
You know, that was a
so
stupid move, I mean, that the Europeans made. Hey, we're going to ditch all of our you know, coal and oil, all of our fossil fuels. We're going to ditch all that. We're going to be dependent on Russia, right? And then we're going to go against Russia on a major issue. Figure that out for me.
And wait a minute, let's not forget, even though, look, I am not, and I want to make this absolutely clear, I am not attempting to rationalize nor justify Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But there is no doubt that NATO and particularly United States meddling in the affairs of Ukraine with the starting in earnest with Crimea and the Euro Maidan thing in 2014 with Victoria Nuland and people in the State Department agitating to remove a Russia-friendly president and install a more European Union-friendly president was the beginning of what we are seeing right now. And the fact that the Ukraine is making entreaties to NATO which would cause a paranoid like Putin to look anxiously at that prospect. And let us not forget that just 60 years ago, we were ready and contemplating nuclear warfare over the installation of Russian nuclear warheads on an island 90 miles off our coast. And we wouldn't expect the same thing from Putin as NATO encroaches on his border with NATO. I mean, it's just amazing that we just seem to forget all this history as though it doesn't apply anymore.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
the Cuban, what was that, the Cuban missile crisis?
2014.
Brian, bring your ass back in here. What is he doing?
I don't know. He's probably sitting here absorbing all this stuff. I didn't know that.
I'm just letting you guys have time, and I'm just listening.
But Sarge, don't you think, look,
guys.
A house. Are you there, Brian?
I am here.
Okay, good. Well, okay. A middle class house in the 60s. I think this is seminal. This is profound. A middle class home, a nice home, $10,000. $10,000.
Yeah.
$100,000.
On one salary,
I hear financial planners
and it
saying
could be
today.
Had, wait a minute. Here's the thing. It could be had on one salary, usually the man's.
Absolutely,
salary.
Absolutely. The woman had not been kicked out of the house into the workforce.
Exactly.
Now they have the woman, the children, and the dogs have to go to work just
and
to
stay afloat.
And it
still won't get enough. You got two people working, and that's frequently not enough to afford a modern-day home.
And they're making, get this now, $100,000 a year. And that's what I was trying to impress upon Brian. See, Brian was just looking at the numbers, not at the purchasing power. It's
exactly.
The purchasing
that's
power,
wrong.
Brian, not the numbers. See,
people
remember
had
in the,
billions
what was it,
of
the Weimar
marks in the 1930s, Brian. They had billions of Reichsmarks, and they had to bring them all down there to get a loaf of bread to the store.
That's what I'm talking about. And also in Zimbabwe and in Venezuela, you know,
yep.
All those countries have experienced runaway inflation. And look, Sarge, have you ever understood, tell me this, riddle me this. Why is a 2% annual inflation rate acceptable? Why is that the target of the Fed? Why not zero inflation? What about that?
Because I think it would get in the way of the schemes they have for things like quantitative easing and printing more money to ease so-called investment. The reason, why do you think we went off the gold standard, Brian? Well, you know why we went off the gold standard, to allow all these economic schemes to prevail. They didn't want a fixed money supply.
Wait a minute. Forget
infinite,
the gold standard, Sarge. I'm going to confront you a little bit on history.
So they could do whatever they felt they had to do.
Let me confront you a little bit on history, Sarge. We had what was called a tri-metallic standard, gold, silver, and copper. Remember, 100 copper pennies were equal to a silver dollar, a 90% silver dollar. Now, there was what was called the Coinage Act of 1792 that mandated that the U.S. have a fair currency. Because a modernized society can't exist on barter. You've got to have a reliable currency. Now, Brian was presenting the total modern day position that the dollar is strong. And that's why I gave him the inflation calculator. And Brian, what you can do is go back all the way to 1913. Put in any basket of goods, and then the calculator will calculate what that will cost today compared to 1913 dollar. And you'll see that it's astronomical. 10 times would be an underrepresentation.
So
that's
like
15
to 17 times, 15 to 17 times more.
Right. Now think of that. And what I said to him to try to make it palpable, one of the things that's most prevalent and visible to us is the price of gasoline, all right? The price of gasoline in pre-1964 honest money, and it was silver, Sarge, I was about to say that gold, very few people had gold, because gold was too expensive. But what they did have was silver. And silver holds its value. It's a very valuable metal. It's used in medicine. It used to be used in photography, but it's certainly used in technology. You know, your cell phones, all of your technology has to have some level of silver. Dentistry, it's a super useful metal, and it's a monetary metal. So that's the metal that most people had. I watch these old cowboy movies, and I see you'll see them plunk down a dollar, you know, for a bath and a hotel room and a good meal. That's all it cost was a dollar.
A dollar.
But if you look at what a dollar cost, and you can buy a dollar, they're very expensive. What is a dollar selling for today? I'm going to estimate just based on around $30.
Yeah. But what did
a
going
dollar
off
is
the
more,
tri-metallic
it's probably more than
enabled,
that, but I'm just...
Here's what going off the tri-metallic system enabled. It enabled the expansion of credit. That's what it did. That's why they did it. So they can go
No. I don't think that's true. Because the United States, I hope you can refute my argument, because unlike Brian, I like for my arguments to be intelligently refuted.
The Fed gives the banks their money supply. Every day
you people
got
were able to save
bank,
more, and if you just
to
said,
give them a supply of money. And what do they do with that money?
One person could buy a home,
lend it.
Sarge.
They lend it.
So actually, it seemed like the economics of the individual, of the citizen, was better then than they are now.
There's truth to that, yes. Then we weren't
but so,
more,
so it
we
really didn't help the
so
citizens. Now, it may help the banks. I understand, as Warren Buffett was saying, when you print all this money, the first person that gets access to that money is able to take it, well, it's currency. It's really not money. The first person or group of people that are able to get access to it, they can take it and transform it into something else. You know, the word, fungible. They transform it into something else that does hold its value. And remember Warren Buffett, I heard one CFI, Certified Financial Planner, call him a congenital liar. That is, call Warren Buffett a congenital liar. Because Warren Buffett was asked to compare gold. Wait a minute, let's see, what did he do? He compared gold, yeah. When he was talking about the value of gold, he really dissed gold. He says, you dig it up, and then you refine it, and you bury it again. And he says, I would much rather have property or businesses, you know, but he didn't compare it to the dollar, and the idiot interviewer didn't have the sense and the wit and the ability to pivot and say to him, no, Mr. Buffett, no, stay on track. Compare gold to the dollar. See, he didn't do that. So Warren Buffett was lying. He was presenting a false narrative.
Okay. On that note, we got to go, boys. We got to go. But I enjoyed the conversation.
No,
I
you
did.
Didn't. You're a liar.
I want to thank again Mrs. Solution for coming in, and of course, thank you, Sarge, for coming in. We will be on tomorrow
Brian,
morning.
Before you go, though, I want you to look up the inflation calculator and use it a minute, and I guarantee you'll be transformed and transfixed.
I have used
and
it.
And also, one other thing, Brian, look up the usdebtclock.org. Usdebtclock.org.
Right. I know the clock.
Look up those two entities.
Yeah,
I
and also read The Preacher from Jekyll Island. It'll be eye-opening.
He can't read, Sarge. Don't encourage him to do that.
But I'm trying to encourage him.
You can do it. You can try it, Brian. You may try.
Hey, guys. Read this feature from Jekyll Island. It's all about the Fed. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the Fed.
You guys.
Yeah, he's right, though, Brian. He's actually, I'm kid. I like to kid with Brian. So, all right, Brian. Very good.
All right, listen, tomorrow we have a
Brian,
great
what are
psychic.
You going to do? What are you going to do today? You need to be chaperoned.
Well, I have to finish.
What are
I
you
got
going
a couple
to
of. I'll explain what I've got. I got a couple of meetings. One with Sony. I got a Sony meeting today, and I got a couple of independent meetings with a couple of musicians. And that's
Standard
it.
Oil. Okay, Brian. All right. Well, make some money, Brian.
I'll try.
Make some money.
I'll try. And don't forget.
All right. Don't try. Do it.
No try, dude. What is it? What did Yoda say? Don't throw it. No try.
No,
don't
I'm
try,
gonna do the Nike slogan. But look here. Go ahead, Brian. You were pretty good today. You were pretty good. So.
All right, you were good too, Mr. Solution.
All right, have a good day. Nice talking to you, Sarge.
You were good too, Mr. Solution, and of course, Sarge, you're always good.
Doing it again someday.
All right, now listen. Don't forget the show.
Whenever Brian decides to come back on the air.
Well, tomorrow's Friday. We're going to have some fun. Get your future read. We have the greatest psychic going to be on tomorrow. Let her do a tarot card reading. You cowards, you sissies.
I would
good.
Never do that. I
yes,
would never do that. Forget that.
Yes, you will.
No,
you
I
guys
won't.
Be safe.
Bye-bye, Brian.
Be safe. Be safe, you guys. Bye. Thanks for
Take
coming.
Care.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Be safe out there, guys.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around. And the rumpus and ruck, it's so comfortable now. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow. So I got an apartment across from the park. Cooking wine in my fridge, still I'm not feeling gross. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to go.
Here we go.
Like I'm gonna puke, cause my taxes are due. Do my password begin with a one or a two? Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something. Ooty-la-dee-do, thank you all for coming. I hope you like the show, cause it's on a budget. So ooty-la-dee-do, yeah, come on, here we go, yeah, come on.
Here we go.
Your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang, let's go out with a bang.
Here we go.
Come